This is Rover's Morning Glory. Rover.
I have spies everywhere.
Dougie.
They want Jeffrey's balls.
Peter.
Touch it.
Charlie.
He wanted me to take swallowing lessons.
And Jeffrey.
I'm a sexual wreck.
Streaming on RoverRadio.com. Rover's Morning Glory starts now.
What's happening? It is Monday, August 28th, 2017. Good morning. It's Rover's Morning Glory. I'm Rover. Doozy is here.
Good morning, sir.
Dieter is here.
Yo!
Yo! And you're with us as well. 866-YO-ROVER. 866-967-6837. You can give us a call at that number. You can text us at that number. That comes into the studio in real time. You can tweet us. Just put at Rover Radio in your tweet. That also comes into the studio in real time. But the best way is to just pick up the phone and dial 866-YO-ROVER. I'll get to your email here in just a moment. Three lanes of the freeway, three of the five lanes closed down today.
Oh, I didn't even...
I don't know what they're doing out there. I don't know.
I think it was an accident.
I don't think so.
No. Wasn't? I heard coming in there was a bad one.
There were signs saying the right two lanes were closed leading up to the... There's an exit to come where we are to go to the radio station, the 176 exit.
Yeah, so. And they have cones out for miles, and so it wasn't an accident.
Well, somewhere a car flipped and two people ejected out. So I don't know where that was on what part of the freeway, but it happened this morning.
Well, that's no good.
So I was like, oh, man, I'm going to be late. So I'm like, if I'm going to run past this, but I didn't hit it, so I thought you would hit it.
I didn't hit it either.
I don't know where that was. All right, we have a lot to talk about this morning. Jeffrey is here. Is he in a good mood?
Chatty.
He was getting ready to start the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Chatty.
I think it's good.
Yeah, hold on a minute.
Okay.
You know, I'm the shortest guy on the show, so I had to adjust the mic before I turn it on. So, yeah, I'm in a good mood. I'm a little bummed. Dom wanted to relax on Sunday. He didn't come out to my... I reached out to him if he wanted to come out to my wrestling show, but he wasn't able to make it, so it's okay. There's another one coming up.
I think he's on Adderall. I mean, he's talking a mile a minute right now.
I'm not on no Adderall.
What'd you say?
That's a double negative. That means you are on Adderall.
All of the Adderall. He's had every
No, I have not had any Adderall. I don't even take the stuff.
You sell it.
So what'd you do Sunday?
I was at the wrestling show.
Oh, my God.
Do you have your shirt on backwards?
No.
I think you do.
Yep, definitely.
Turn around.
He's gonna turn his shirt around, so I guess we'll see it in a second. But
yeah, it's got the little tiny graphic on the breast pocket area.
Yeah, how can you put a shirt?
Well, I thought I had to show that off. Hey, had to start Monday off with a bang, right?
Is it on purpose?
Yeah. Yeah, the big event last night was the Mayweather McGregor fight.
Last night, huh?
No, not last night. Saturday night.
All right.
I have to get my marbles together.
Well, what did you talk? What was Dumb supposed to come to?
Well, I invited Dumb to come out. You know, at least I reached out to him. I said if you can come out, if you're not busy, you know, bring Brittany and the kids out because it's an all ages show, and so at least I reached out to him.
Nice.
But you're wrestling? Is that what it is?
Say
that
again.
Wrestling?
Yeah.
Your backyard wrestling? Okay.
Oh, not really. It's with a ring. It was just an outdoor show, though.
Where does it happen?
It was at the Park Tavern in North Royalton.
Cock slut.
So what do they do? They build a ring outside?
Cock slut.
Yeah, yeah, they just, yeah, they have, it's a real ring that the kind you can take apart to pack up and go from city to, you know, to bounce around from the cities and towns in this country.
Yeah, I know, I'm just wondering, like, I don't know what this place is, the Park Tavern, but, I mean, imagine you just, you're going out for lunch or a drink and you pull up and
Jeffrey,
these asswipes are out there in their singlets. I mean,
how many people show up to this, Jeffrey? Roughly?
Oh, there was at least 75 to 100 people.
I find that
that's
hard
a lot.
Believe.
He was really yeah. sent. He called me twice this weekend. Really
desperate.
Drove home that I would have to pay. Really wanted to make sure you.
Oh.
You will be $10 for you, $10 for her, $5 for the kids.
Oh, yeah.
Just make sure you are very aware. You will not get in as my guest. You must pay to come.
Yeah.
Last time I went to go see him.
I was going to have you come in for free as my guest, Dom.
Oh
yeah.
Wow! Why didn't you tell him that?
Sorry.
Why wouldn't you tell him that? That would make him go.
Well, he said he wanted to kick back and relax on Sunday, so I understood. I mean, it's no big deal.
I know, but you always tell us it's $7 to go. If you tell us it's free, it might get us to go.
Yeah, well, you guys are all germaphobes, so what's the point?
No, when I come, every time I've ever been to your wrestling show, the only person that goes to your wrestling show, I always have to pay.
No, I went before.
You ever seen 100 people at one of his shows?
Well, this is a different league now.
Oh.
He's switching leagues over and over again. This is no longer the church wrestling. This is a different crew. This is the crew that keeps using the logo of the show and stuff.
Oh, well, yeah, they keep posting that on Facebook
over
and stuff.
Over and over again.
Oh, we didn't do that. Oh, it's on your Facebook. Yeah, well, I know that
some of the same guys that are in the one where I do at the church are also wrestle at this show. So it's like a whole big community, if you will.
Right. All right. Oh, that sounds
kind of like the old territory days of the NWA from way back in the day.
Interesting.
You have to bounce around to different territories and make a name for yourself, that kind of stuff.
I know when I went there before, Rover, there was probably 10 people there.
Not 100?
I'm just saying, when I went, there's probably 10 to 12 people.
I mean, I'm just wondering, what do you do if you're just a regular guy and you pull up on a Sunday to go to lunch or something at whatever place he said, and there's a bunch of hillbillies in a ring? I mean,
I'd watch for a little bit. Wouldn't you walk over and go, who the hell are these guys? Are they famous?
Well, you know that because they're at the Royalton Pub or whatever he said it was. Yeah. So you know they're not. I mean...
Well, maybe it's a has-been. It's someone that retired or something. I'd look at it.
Stanley T. writes, Rover, I had a hypothetical question for JLR. If he was stuck in Hurricane Harvey down in Houston, and he was up on the roof of his house with his family waiting to be rescued, and Scat came by in a rescue boat, but he only had one seat open, and he wanted Jeffrey to go watch Monday Night Raw, would Jeffrey go, or would he wait for another boat that could fit his whole family?
I'd wait for another boat and bring the whole family.
Really?
You wouldn't just throw, like, Tomash to safety first?
No, I would have to, if it's one seat, then I have to wait for the next boat, because I want us to all be rescued, not just one person.
Jeff writes, Rover, how can I install the Rover radio app on an Amazon Fire Stick? I spend a lot of time in my garage, and I would love to watch RMG TV and the Friday Leftovers on my garage TV. As far as I know, there's no way to do that, I don't think. I think Apple TV, you can get RMG TV and everything for RMG Plus on an Apple TV. You can get RMG TV live and the replay on a Roku, and that's it. None of the other stuff, but that's all available right now. Alexis writes, Yo, Rover, I've been a listener since day one. This past summer, I've been battling stomach cancer. And some days, the only laughs I had were from Rover's Morning Glory. Between my mouth tasting like blood for days, puking while trying to drive my daughter to school, and sharting in my pants, you guys were right by my side. On Wednesday, I completed my last chemo treatment, and I'm now cancer-free. Although I'm done with sharting myself and puking, I will never be done with Rover's Morning Glory. Special thanks to the Fartbox Boys, Alexis.
Wow. I don't poop in my underpants now, punk!
Yeah, I recognize that name. She's been emailing for a long time. F. Doogie writes, Rover, I totally agree with you. It would be impossible for you to blow through $700 million in Powerball winnings. However, Doogie is such a careless moron, she would definitely blow through the money. That's why she's arguing about this with you.
Yeah, I can see that.
Me?
Yep. There's no way you could. You can't save money, Doogie. You have that sickness.
I can save money. I, in fact, just upped my my savings deposit, the automatic.
Out of our paychecks?
Yeah.
To how much? Like what percentage? 5% or less?
I do $200 per check is gone automatically.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
And that goes into where?
It goes into a separate savings
account. The retirement thing?
No, no.
Or this is just savings?
This is separate. And I just called a couple weeks ago about retirement, and I have 100,000. I just reached my 100,000 mark. Woo-hoo.
100,000 what?
401k.
You have $100,000 in your 401k?
And I asked if, I swear to God, I asked if.
Really?
Which I think this is
weird. Peter, you buy that?
No way. I swear to God. I'm not even close to that.
Well, you just, he did just start.
No, he's been doing it for years.
No.
What do you mean he just started?
Years.
But you also told me a long time ago to up it, and I did ask, how do you do the most? And they're like, you already did that a while ago. I'm like, all right. So I am maxed.
Well, what do you put in, Dieter? Do you not put in the max?
Whatever they, is it 3% when they start to match it? I put the bare minimum in to get matched.
They'll match anything up to
5%.
Up to 5%.
Okay, there was something about if you do 3, so I do 3%.
Oh, and I hate doing the max.
I hate it.
Yep.
Why?
I looked at it before, just a difference in paycheck from 3% to 5. I'm like, do I really have the money now? Then sit in an account and I can't touch it until maybe when I'm about to die. And Doogie will never stay. Doogie won't stay till 65 or whatever to not touch that 100,000.
But if the company is basically giving you free money
that I can't touch,
but it's free money, why would you not take that?
Here's free money. You can't touch it for 50 years. Oh, great. Who knows if I'll be alive then?
Yeah, we know how old you are. It's not 50 years. I mean,
20 years?
Might have been 50 years when you started working on the show, but now it's like 10.
Okay, say 30 years. It's 65, right?
The stock market crashes or something happens or our currency is not valued as high as it was and all of a sudden you have nothing.
Yeah, I'd rather have the money now, like each paycheck that I could spend. If I want to save it, I can save it.
That's the way to do it.
I'm only doing 3%.
So if you're going to save it, I mean, it's all right.
Do you do a side savings? Like, do you do the withdrawal from your paycheck? See, if I don't see it, I won't spend it.
I have the willpower. I could put some away. Whenever I have like a bigger check, I go, I'm going to put some in my savings. I actually take it. I do it myself. I transfer it.
If you say you don't spend it if you don't see it, why are you calling to see how much money you have in there? Then?
That is interesting.
I wanted to get to my 100,000 mark.
So she can take it out.
There's no way. No.
Hold on. Our last company, we had a little savings thing.
I had like a scotch.
No, is it gone?
Oh, yeah. CBS Radio.
See?
Do you have one from CBS?
I still have that. Still have it.
By the way, this begs the question, does scotch actually mean anything? Or is she just made up this word? Has anyone ever heard anyone else use that word?
I've heard it. I don't know if it's just from dudes, but I've heard it.
I think it's just from her.
Like 90s movies.
Yeah, like
scotch.
Friends. I feel like they said that on Friends a lot. Like something Rachel or Monica would have said on Friends all the time.
How do you spell that,
Doogie? S-K-O-S-C-H. Scotch.
Scotch.
Is that the same as a smidge?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Scotch is a word. It's a small or little amount.
My family always said it when I was little.
But it's S-K-O-S-H?
Yeah.
No C-H. Okay.
How much are you supposed to retire with?
They say like millions of dollars. Yeah,
$3 million
every time
something?
I see an article on this, I go, are you kidding me? Who has this kind of...
There was just one last week I sent to you. What was it? At 30, you're supposed to have 1x your salary in the bank account. Okay? If you can follow that, Charlie. So 1x your salary. 40 years old, it should be twice your salary in your bank account.
Okay.
Annual?
Yes.
Like yearly salary?
Isn't that insane? That's,
so say you make 20,000, dumb.
What kind of fantasy world is this?
Let's just say you make 20,000.
Does this happen in real life?
No one has this. This is ridiculous.
But when you retire at 65, are you supposed to have like $5 million or something?
Well, it depends on what your lifestyle is. How much?
If your house is paid off, you have social security.
Okay, so you get that. That's guaranteed to get that.
Well, by the time we get it, who
not
knows?
That much, though.
No, but it's a little skosh. Oh, yeah. And then you have whatever your 401k and then savings.
Did they just hand it to you right when you're 65? They just go, here's everything you made?
No, my mom gets a check. Oh, what, 401k?
Yeah, do they just go, here it is.
I don't know.
You have the rest of your life to spend this. Don't go over. Is that how that works?
Or you can opt to have a monthly payment. Like, my mom doesn't have 401k. She just gets Social Security. So she gets a check every month, and then she has to work on top of that to pay for little things.
Where does skosh come from, Dougie?
I don't know. I just said my parents would say it when I was little growing up. I always heard it in my family. Why? Why are you challenging
that? Well, is it Italian?
I don't know. I just told you that. What's wrong with it?
No,
why does it bother you that I say that?
It's Japanese. I just looked this up. Japanese.
Okay.
This seems like something that Dougie's family would go around trying to claim was Italian. Doesn't it?
Okay. Okay. Oh. I could hear him dumb laughing through the studio.
This person says, please don't use my name. My soon-to-be ex-husband burned everything I own except for the clothes I was wearing. I am trying to rebuild my life and wardrobe. I wanted to know if by any chance you have any pull-up sweatshirts left. Mine was burned. This is these are sweatshirts from years ago. Various phrases from the show. Pull-up was one. Dieter describing, I think he said his uncle was a pilot or something.
Pull up! Well, yes, that's how he took his pilot's license. He said he had to renew his pilot's license. He told me a good story. When he was up there with the trainer, at one point, he said the plane was upside down or to the side, and the guy just then let go of the controls and said, recover the plane. And that was a new thing he had to do. So he actually had this little two-seater plane almost upside down, and he had to somehow ride it and land it.
What was the original story? Didn't he turn the engine off and point it right at the ground, and your uncle was, like, blindfolded?
No, yeah. He was blindfolded, and then he took the thing off and said,
Pull up, fix it.
Well, you guys were like, oh, yeah, he's about to crash into the ground 6 feet from the ground. I'm like, he's not 6 feet from the ground. And then he just goes at this last second, pull up.
Pull up!
Well, do you guys, I mean, I've never heard of this happening.
It seems like a lot of mistakes would happen, and a lot of pilots would just die out there.
Talk to any pilot that has a two-seater, four-seater plane. A pilot's license, you have to go through this stuff to make sure you can handle a damn plane.
Maybe how do you recover from a stall and that kind of stuff, but you tell me blindfolded, a bag over your head, like you're in a ISIS detention center.
He had to do it.
Flying the plane upside down.
He made it seem like it was upside down. Maybe it was halfway or three-fourths, but when he was telling the story to me, it sounded like he was upside down. I was like, oh, my God. And he recovered it.
Trinity writes, Rover, I attended a private... Well, let me take a break because I'm getting behind here. It doesn't seem like it, but... We started a little bit late here this morning. Dougie, do you have coming up in the shizzy?
We have to talk about what's happening down south and ways that we can help Houston, the flooding, and everything that's happened the last few days. So we're going to talk about that coming up next. And, of course, I want to hear your thoughts on the Mayweather-McGregor fight as well.
All right. We'll be right back on Rover's Morning Glory. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory. Tickets for the Pixies, Danzig, and Roger Waters, plus a whole slate of dumb crap. The Alan Cox Show back live at 3 today on MMS.
Time for more Rover's Morning Glory on Cleveland's Rock Station, 100.7 WMMS.
Sure, you might be fat, but look at the bright side.
It makes you harder to kidnap.
Just forget it.
Yep, you'll get hours of positivity listening to Rover's Morning Glory. Yeah!
The shizzy is coming up in a moment. The news, what do you have on the way, Doogie?
We're going to get to the latest regarding what's happening with Hurricane Harvey that has now passed, but the effects, the rain, still down south. We'll tell you all about it next.
We'll get to that in just a moment. By the way, to that woman who's soon to be ex-husband, she said burned all of her stuff, her clothes, everything of hers except for the clothes on her back. You call the cops on that, right? You don't just go, well, it's time for a divorce. Do you?
It's everything you own, yeah. He's going to kill you. Who's going to come back and actually cut your throat?
I would hope you.
If you're at that stage.
Curious George in Columbus, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Curious George.
Good morning, Rover.
Hi.
I'm a new listener for about a month now, and you know, I've watched a lot of a lot of your YouTube clips, just to sort of get an idea of sort of like who's who. I was kind of curious, you know, how did you get started in radio? What is a Doogie? Is Jeffrey slow, and what is in that cage that's behind his head? Sort of like who's who on the show, you know, sure. Their roles.
Let's see. Well, in a nutshell. A Doogie, that's a nickname that Doogie's family gave her when she was little. I just always wanted to be in radio since I was 8 years old, and I lied my way into my first job in Las Vegas where I grew up, and I made a fake resume, fake tape, and they gave me a job.
Is Jeffrey really slow?
Jeffrey is different.
Normal as pie.
He's different. He's
different.
He's
very intelligent.
I wouldn't go that far.
On certain topics.
No, on certain subjects.
Oh, yeah, wrestling and airplanes.
Yeah.
And
movies.
Roller coasters, for sure.
He's wearing his shirt backwards today. But.
Funny, Anthony. Anyways.
It's not funny. That's true. You had your shirt on backwards today.
Well, you mentioned that when you were talking about how you first got your first radio job. So this trip, this upcoming trip to Vegas, it's going to be coming homecoming for you.
It is, yeah.
So are you going to visit your old some of your old stomping grounds?
I don't know as if I'll have time to do that when we're out there, but maybe. Let's see. What else?
In
the cage behind Jeffrey out on Skid Row. It's called Skid Row because that's where Jeffrey sits and his skid-marked underpants hang in a cage. he wore these underpants for 30 days straight. The reason they're in a cage is because he was so embarrassed by them after the fact.
Well, they're in multiple smaller frames. Started off just a pretty small frame, and then Jeffrey smashed that frame. So then I bought a bigger frame, and then Jeffrey smashed that one.
And stole them and ran out of the building with them, and they had to chase him down and get... He tried to put them in the, I think, in a dumpster.
Oh, yeah.
I should have remembered to lock that stupid dumpster and hit the compression button. Or just set the thing on fire.
So that is... That's what is behind Jeffrey out on Skid Row. He wore those underpants for 30 days straight because he quit.
He kept smashing them and kept smashing them. I had to learn how to weld, so they're kind of in a jail cell that I've welded so that you can't get through it anymore.
That's right. So there you go, Curious George. You need to turn your microphone on,
Jeffrey. Oh, yeah, you were talking. I just got to bring in just remind myself to bring in some heavy industrial bolt cutters to cut that lock off.
Okay, all right. Trinity, I started to read this email, but it was a little bit longer, so I took a break there. But Trinity writes, I attended a private viewing of the pay-per-view Mayweather-McGregor fight on Saturday. There were several houses on the street having viewing parties. The crowds intermingled. Halfway through one of the fights on the undercard, I see a man with an out-of-control mullet/mohawk in a Roverfest tank top appear on the deck. I knew immediately that I was seeing Jeffrey LaRocque in the flesh. Being a fan of the show for years, I thought, wow, this is kind of neat. I then began to wonder, how does this guy know this mostly 28 to 34-year-old crowd? I quickly scanned the crowd of about 50 people. I failed to recognize anyone else from the show or his family. Mind you, this all happened in the span of about 2 minutes. Then... out of the blue, Jeffrey gets an intro frick induction. The host says, quote, we are honored to have Jeff from Rover's Morning Glory here with us
tonight.
It's
a party? Oh, I guarantee
what the hell is this?
He requested that, Rover. If I'm going to come to your party, you got to announce on there.
I didn't say that.
Oh, yeah.
And wearing a Roverfest shirt, too? This is amazing. Yeah.
I didn't want to approach him at first because I thought he was just enjoying the fight with friends, but after this introduction, I realized he really is the douchebag everyone claims he is. Shows up at random people's houses after he ducks out on his family. What? Give us an explanation, Jeffrey.
Oh, what happened? I was actually invited to that party. One of the hosts was friends with one of her sales girls. She gave me the invitation.
Did you know this person?
Huh?
Have you ever met this person before?
No, one of our sales girls gave me the invitation, and they're a bunch of military pilots.
Was the sales girl there?
No, she was there before I was.
So what? You went to a party where you knew nobody. I don't understand this at all. The sales girl invites you to a party that she's attending.
Oh, she gave me the invitation to the party.
But she doesn't go.
Correct.
So you just show up when you know zero people.
That takes balls to do that.
What goes through your mind when you are walking? You park your car and you're walking up the driveway.
It's a bad idea.
I mean, you don't know any of the people there. In fact, you've never even talked to anyone there.
I talked to several people there.
Huh. I'm sure once you got there.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the people there recognize me.
No, but prior to going there, had you ever talked to anyone at this party?
No, prior to going there, no, I haven't talked to anybody.
So what is going through your mind as you park your car on the street and you are walking up to this house?
I'm just be open-minded. I say it probably can't go over well, and eventually it was the complete opposite. It went over well.
Why wouldn't it?
To several people, and one of the guys there was, there was a comedian there named Brian Chambers. He was a local comic, and he was in the Air Force, and we were talking airplanes.
So what was the theme of this party as to why you would go? You were told
because a lot of these people were are ex-military pilots, and they all know. And Rachel knew that they all knew I liked airplanes, so I thought I'd fit in with the crowd.
Could you imagine just walking up? You don't know anyone.
I would never.
A house party
by myself?
No,
maybe in college, but even then you're like
no. You wouldn't never. Go to a party that you didn't know anyone at.
Not a soul.
you think about this for just a second. You're in college, and a buddy of yours says, Dieter, here is a party. Where was this at? What city?
It was Cleveland, right? It's in an area that's like right above the Metro Parks Valley.
Someone's
got the address.
Someone says to you, Dieter, here's a party. It's 20 minutes away from your house. Go there Saturday night. I'm not going. But you don't know anyone there.
But they're bodybuilders.
But just show up.
It's bodybuilders.
No, never.
Doing karaoke.
I'm safe. No.
That's what this was. It was pilots doing karaoke.
Could you imagine being a pilot?
It wasn't pilots doing karaoke. It was Mayweather-McGregor fight. What do you mean?
No, they had a bunch of pilots were having a party. They were doing karaoke. Did they have the fight on?
Yeah, they had the fight on.
Okay.
Could you imagine being a pilot and just trying to relax and just have fun, and then the biggest plane nerd of all time shows up and just nonstop is just talking about F-14s?
They asked him to come. They invited him.
Oh, they did?
Yes.
Oh, well, good for them.
And he took him up?
I don't know how you walk up to a place. I mean, I have anxiety if I'm going into a situation like that.
And you
that.
Only know two people.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, I only know two people here.
I only know two people, because then the whole time you're like, oh, I don't know anyone else, and I don't want to just talk to those two people.
Leave me alone?
Yeah, what if they leave and I'm stuck staying there? Just going in knowing nobody.
Well, the move is he had the Roverfest shirt on.
Yes.
He knew. He wanted to go in with a plain shirt. Because he would risk nobody would know him. But with the Roverfest shirt, you walk in, he was banking on people saying, oh, there's Jeffrey.
And do you plan on what your move is going to be when you walk into there?
I'll just, introduce myself and enjoy the fight.
And you asked them to introduce you to the party on the karaoke machine.
No, the karaoke was already over, so.
Oh, he missed
But I heard that. You asked them to announce you.
No, but they didn't know.
Did you ask them? Did you say, hey, could you make an announcement?
I said, no, you don't have to. I left that at their option.
See?
So you left it their option. Who brought it up first?
The host of the party. I said, no, it's just, he was very nice, though. I mean,
you didn't casually say, you want to make note that I'm here, nothing like that, just a casual mention?
But it was a casual mention. We'll leave it at that.
How much? So you did mention it. How much did you? How much did they pay you? Did they pay you?
I had to pay them. They didn't have to pay me.
Okay.
All right, this is a good time. What the hell?
Are you ready for the shizzy?
Yes.
Here we go.
Hit the shizzy on Rover's Morning Glory.
I don't know if you followed any of this all weekend, what happened with this Hurricane Harvey. Mm. It's so, so sad. It's now...
I was pretty busy, but I... it's sad. I mean, I caught up on everything last night, and it's really crazy, obviously.
It is.
Is it a tropical storm or a hurricane, or was it one?
Well, it was a hurricane. Now it's down. Diminished okay. to a tropical storm, but it was a Category 4, I think.
Yeah, but the problem is that once the hurricane reaches land, it then kind of moves on. Unfortunately, this hurricane has hit land. It's now a tropical storm, and it's stalled. And it is unbelievable.
It's just sitting over the same place, just dumping. I saw the headline that the National Weather Service says they've never seen rain like this ever before. And I saw in the news that they said that they were expecting 4 to 6 feet of rain over a 24 to 48 hour period.
Yes.
I've never heard of that.
I had tears in my eyes. The picture that had gone viral of the old folks' home. Did you see that picture?
I missed that one.
I saw the video. People are sitting like in wheelchairs, Rover, in this nursing home with water up to their necks.
Oh, my God. You're kidding
there,
me.
Paying to be evacuated. All these old people, they can't move.
Begging for help.
And you got to think the water's freezing, right? This is sewage water.
Yes, snakes.
Well, it's probably not sewage water.
I mean, this isn't clean water, Rover.
No, it's not clean water. It's just
dirty.
Yeah. These sewers are flooding. It's
trash.
Rainwater. It's all trash.
Yeah, of course. This is the
picture. Oh, my
picture.
God. Look at this.
Yes.
It's horrible. And with
look
Houston,
at this woman. She's just in her Barca lounger.
They don't know what to do.
Nothing is going on. I mean, That is incredible.
So
incredible.
One of the things that I wondered, you know, we were focused on Corpus Christi, and then all of a sudden it focuses on...
How fast? Can I ask you a question? Because I don't know much about flooding. You put that picture back up there, Snitz. How fast does this occur?
Yeah, is it like 20 minutes, and that's why you're still sitting there? Is this slow, over the course of
this is
eight
the
hours?
Living room of the old folks' home, you know, the common area or whatever, and... If you're standing up, it's waist deep water, I suppose. But how fast does that happen? I mean, when it starts to get in and it's oh, look, we have a couple inches of water. Oh, we have a foot of water. I mean, how fast does it go from nothing to that?
Good question. I'd say a couple hours, right?
Yeah, fast.
Well,
because I think they had a dam that broke, and now that's going to cause one of the main hubs, the main river that goes through Houston, it's going to cause that to rise even more. And the pictures are just devastating. You're looking on RMG TV at drone video. And again, more rain to come. The airports are shut down. People stranded all over the place. They're telling people to get to the roof. Don't go in the attic. The Coast Guard can't find you. And I'll be honest with you, if you were telling me to get to my roof, I wouldn't know how to. How do you get to the roof?
Yeah, you should know, dude.
How do you? I mean, do you know how to get to your
roof?
I go upstairs. I go out a window and get up to.
How are you going
to
crawl from a window to the roof?
No, don't you have like little things off any of your windows?
You might.
Side.
I
not
don't.
One.
Okay. You I've, don't. In your cat room.
Do you?
Yeah, I have like just a little small little awning off one of the windows. That like if you had like a kid, he would go out there and probably sit out there and smoke weed.
Okay.
So I know I would go right there.
I don't have that. I couldn't get to my roof.
No, then get to the second floor. Just wait there.
It's really, really sad. One of the cities that was in the path of this, they said if you do not evacuate, put your social security number in permanent marker on your arm so we can identify you. It was really bad. And then I wondered, why didn't they evacuate Houston? And the mayor said, I stand by my decision not to have people to evacuate the city because it would have been chaos. Trying to get people
out now.
And getting them back in. He said it wouldn't. He goes, I stand by my decision.
But did anybody die by that?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean,
he said
still...
everybody would be dead. A bunch of people would have died if he tried to leave because they'd just be stuck on the roads
and flooded in their cars. So, animals, a lot of the shelters aren't taking animals. So they're trying to figure that. Another picture that made me so sad was the dog walking down the street carrying.
No, he had a full thing of dog food. He had a full, like, 12-pound bag of dog food. He looked like he was looting.
Yeah, it was
actually looked pretty cool.
Stealing. Yeah. He was like, I feel bad for him.
There was also, was it an owl?
Or it's a hawk. You have this video of this hawk. It just went in this guy's car.
Because all these animals are freaked out and scared. So we have a lot of teams
Cooper Hawk, really pretty fella, has sought refuge in my cab here, and he seems to be scared. He don't know what's going on. Hurricane Harvey is getting ready to barrel down through over here, and he just kind of doesn't want to leave. He looks like he's scared. He don't know what's going on. Maybe the
he
air
flew into this guy's
hurricane, yeah. But
what he's claiming?
Car? He just kind of hopped on in and doesn't want to leave. Not sure what to make of it. And
feed him.
I've tried to get him out of here. He's not hurt. He just don't want to leave the car. He seems like he's afraid. I don't know why. But he's not afraid of me. He's actually kind of comfy cozy right now.
Huh.
Isn't that crazy?
How the hell does this happen? A hawk on that
wants
thing.
To seek refuge in your vehicle because of a hurricane coming.
All right.
Did you read the email from our big bosses about how you can help and the Red Cross and everything and how our affiliates, our stations down south? It made me think of my friend Rod Ryan, who works in Houston and does radio. If that were you and you did radio down there, would you stay and hunker down in the radio station and broadcast? Because he's still on. I mean, there's only one of their cluster in Houston that I saw is off air. But they're all trying. There's like a rotation of people that are trying to keep everything on air. Would you?
I mean, I don't know. It depends what you have going on. Is your house flooded?
They said that homes were flooded, that workers' homes were flooded.
I'll tell you, I'd say screw all of you. My house is flooding. What am I going to? I'm going to go try to save whatever I can of my house.
There's no saving it.
Sure there is. I mean, if you have stuff on the first floor that you want to move up to the second floor to save so it doesn't get flooded, pictures or whatever you have, what do you mean there's nothing to save? No, so you're on your own, Doogie.
Oh, I would say, if management's listening,
okay.
I would, as long as my daughter were
your
here.
Your kid at home, Doogie, you'd be the first one out the door.
She would be. There's no question about that.
So with the effects of Hurricane Harvey and what it's done to the lower states, there's ways you can help. One of the best ways to do is the organizations that are legitimate, because now you're going to have people that are going to try to come get money and scam you. But if you could try to stick with, like, the American Red Cross, Salvation Army, these are trained organizations to respond to disasters such as Harvey.
Tracy, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Tracy.
Good morning, Rover. Good morning, everybody.
Hi.
Hi. My sister, and she has six kids. They're all adults now. But my sister and her family live in Texas. Most of them live in the Houston area, just outside of Houston and Katy. My sister's a 911 operator. And she has, since the day before the storm, she's been in lockdown and dispatch preparing for this. But it's a lot worse than what the pictures even show you. I mean, the calls that are coming in are horrific. She said it's the worst thing. And the sad thing is a lot of people were prepared for it, but it prepared for a hurricane, but not prepared for how devastating it is.
And the flooding, you know, that there's no power. So they're trying desperately to
now,
get this
back together.
Now,
what kind of calls are coming in? I mean, obviously, people trapped in their home or whatever, but has she shared any details of any of these?
Well, I mean, she's not allowed to give too much detail because, you know, like, the media and stuff may get hold of it. But calls like a family of five were, they were told to get to the roof. And it's a man and a wife and their three children, all under the age of four. So they're trying to get to the roof, and it's impossible, and it's a steep roof, and you can't, I mean, and it's terracotta at that, so you have to be careful because that stuff comes right off.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, how do you get up there? I mean, how do I get my family up here? It's impossible. People that are stranded, they're homebound, and they're not able to get up. They're not able to move. Their caregivers had left. It's stuff like that. It's horrible. It's horrible. And some people, it's not too often, but you have like a two-story apartment or a two-story house, lots of times a two-story house, but their entire first floor is in water. They can't even go downstairs.
Where do you sleep at?
I don't think you're sleeping much.
Well, yeah, you have to sleep in the...
I was just thinking that. Like, say they're not coming for 3 days. I mean, where would you sleep if your whole house is in water?
You'd have to go to the roof. And the bad thing is that, like in our area, a lot of people have boats. I mean, if it's going to flood that bad, there's boats. But in Houston and Katy, it's not that common to have a rowboat hanging around so that you can get to it. But it's horrible. She did call us, though. Everybody is safe. A lot of people are worried about their cars, and I'm like, you know, your insurance will cover it, but it's not going to cover your life. Just get the safety. Don't worry about the daggone car.
Yeah, I saw a lot of cars underwater, a lot of, you do look at this, and man, oh man, that would be awful.
A lot of people's pets, they weren't able to save their pets, and that's really hard for them, and I understand that too. I mean, but it's just horrible. The good thing is that my sister, and she hasn't had anybody that she personally knows have any permanent effects. No one that she knows personally died. So everybody in our family is safe, and that makes us very happy.
Thank you, Tracy. Doogie, do you know, I saw that the death toll was only at 5. I assume that will go up significantly.
They're trying to rescue people. The reason why they're telling you to go to the roof was to wave flag or towels, anything you can wave to get attention. They're trying to airlift as many people as possible.
Yeah, but even those airlifts there, it's still stormy weather there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then the president will make a trip there tomorrow to assess everything. I don't know why so soon, and that maybe that's just me wondering that. Because they are in the middle of trying to deal with everything. So we'll be watching this story all day long. There you go. That's the Shizzy and Rover's Morning Glory.
At roverradio.com, you'll find...
Well, I ain't gonna tell you.
Go f***ing find it yourself. It's all there. Roverradio.com.
Ryan in Grand Rapids, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, Rover.
Yo.
I just wanted to comment on Jeffrey going to this party, because, I mean, I have social anxiety, so going to a party no one knows me at, or I know no one at, I go through the roof.
Oh, my God. Even if I went there with someone I know, like if it's just you and one person you know walking into a party with 50 people that you don't know, I wouldn't even like that.
Walking into a bar.
That's with someone, at least one person I know.
Right. I have a hard time walking into a bar. Trying to meet somebody. That makes me sweat. Like, that is difficult for me.
In a way, it's almost, you look at Jeffrey and you go, thank God I'm not like Jeffrey. But in a way, it's almost liberating. Yes.
It's almost like a superpower.
In a way, yeah.
He doesn't care what people think about him.
Yeah, you have no filter, nothing. You just do and say what you want and go and,
It's an amazing accomplishment.
Thank you, Ryan.
I just want to say it was a good time. Everybody was nice.
They had blast. I got a report. They loved him.
How much you drank?
I only drank one beer.
All right, I want to find out who watched this fight on Saturday night. I'm still waiting for all the phone calls to roll in, Short memory on Friday. Everyone said, Rover, you're an idiot. You're so stupid.
McGregor's hey, Rover, kill did you read my tweet to you?
Oh, no.
Rover, you weren't that right.
I wasn't that right. Okay. Well, I wasn't
that
right. I wasn't wrong. I can tell you that.
Well, some of the words you said.
Will be...
Yo Station.
Misery. Failure.
Show is Rover's Morning Glory.
This is bad in every sense.
Now back to the show.
Try not to kill yourself.
Mike in Houston, Texas. You're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys.
Yo, what's happening?
I just want to give you guys an update over here. I'm all right and where I'm at. My part of Houston is dry right now. We just got some heavy rains. But it's kind of crazy over here. Everything shut down to the point where there's some grocery stores that I'm pretty close to And I went driving around yesterday. I was actually going to try to go into one of them, but they had cops at the front of the store just turning everyone away, saying, just go home, get out of here, across the street to the other grocery store I went. The parking lot was crowded, and it was full. And I tried to go inside, and there was a line of people, but there was the doors were locked. Everyone was just waiting, just trying to open that they were going to open the doors, but they're like, no, we're not opening up. Everyone go home. There's nothing in here. Just get out of here. It's
that's when you go around the back and you break into the place to get what you need.
That's true. I thought about it.
You know, what are they going to do? They're going to stop everyone? They got bigger fish to fry.
Why won't they open? Like, what happened? Like, what?
A lot of the stores were kind of...
What happened? The hurricane happened, dude. What happened?
Well, no, but if they see people out front that are desperate and they have stuff inside, why wouldn't they open?
Because they don't want to put their workers at risk. And yeah, man.
Yeah, there was a couple policies and stuff. Some stores, there's a Texas-based store called HEB, and they've been really good about everything here. They've been getting late night deliveries of water and stuff, but they didn't want to put people in danger of going out and trying to get stuck and all that kind of stuff, and just kind of getting messed up just trying to get a little bit of stuff that they had left over.
Now, you say that you're in an area where it's fine. How much of the city is underwater, would you say?
I would say the majority of it. They're still telling everyone. Last night there was a curfew. No one was to be out on the roads in certain parts. But towards downtown, some of the major freeways are still completely just underwater. They're about to start releasing water from the reservoirs. So they're telling those people to get out of the area because that area is in flood now. But it's bad.
You have power at your place?
I do. I do. I'm lucky. I haven't lost power. Cable and internet's down, but I mean, that's about it. But power is still up and running. And I was telling Dumb, my aunt and uncle, they just moved it back into their house from the last flood we had. That was tax day. The tax day flood is what they called it. And they've only been in their house for, say, maybe 4 or 5 months after being completely redone, rebuilt. And they just had water come in yesterday. So their house is going to get ruined once again.
Time to move, I guess. I mean, I see these people in the... And they have the same story. They go, well, I just rebuilt from this flood, and then I remember the flood 8 years ago. I go, maybe it's time to move to higher ground. Who would want to deal with this all the time? Easier said than done, I suppose. But man, oh man, that sucks. Well, Mike, stay safe.
Is this the Houston connection? One of the guys from our.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thinking about you. I'm glad you're okay, honey.
Thanks, Gigi.
I tweeted Mike. I was worried about him. I know that he's been listening for a long time, so glad to hear he's okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike. Stay safe. Right on. Terrible. So, on Friday, I told B2, I said, you know, maybe we'll get this Mayweather fight, and we can watch it tomorrow. She likes that kind of stuff. Even though she's not she cannot watch a violent movie. She can't even watch a movie where if you put a gun to someone's head, they don't have to pull a trigger. They just put a gun. You pull out a gun. She can't even watch anything like that. But she does like MMA and boxing.
That's strange.
I can't explain it. So then on Saturday, I was driving home from something, and it was about, I don't know, noon, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And I was really wrestling with this of, it's not the, no, well, no one likes spending $100, but I was wrestling with spending $100 and knowing that a big chunk of that $100 is going to go to a woman beater. How do you do that?
It's a good point.
I mean, you're basically just handing money to a woman beater that has beaten a bunch of women. He's been in prison for beating a woman. And there are multiple. I mean, the guy, Mayweather, is a bad guy. There's no question about that. I don't think you can even dispute that. And I wrestled with that. But I still ended up, you know, well, whatever. Still ended up buying the fight for $100. So after I bought the fight, which was early, early in the evening, then I went and I watched the four episodes that they had. You know, Showtime was the network doing this fight, but HBO has their version and Showtime has their version of when they have a big fight, they do these behind the scenes kind of things. Did you watch any of those?
I
love that
stuff. No, I wish I can see the training.
Yeah.
Oh, I would die to see that.
I watched all four episodes of that. So those are like 25 minutes each. So for an hour and a half, I got all caught up on all four episodes of that. And they really, it was pretty obvious. Now I understand why people were calling and people were duped. People were calling last week. Oh, Mayweather's out of shape. He's not training. He's not taking this seriously. Because in these four episodes, they don't show. They really tried to portray it like Mayweather is just, oh, he's going to his strip club every night. He's going to the skating rink with his kids. He's doing this. He's doing that. He's not training at all. I mean, that was basically what they were trying to portray. And if you believe that, give me a break.
Like he
idiot.
Wasn't taking it seriously.
Right.
Like, oh, it's some MMA guy. No big deal.
Right. I guess that this must be why people were calling saying that last week. I'm like, I go, Mayweather is known for his unbelievable training regimen. And you tell me he's not training for this fight? That's just ridiculous. But that's what they were trying to portray. And I think that they were doing that on purpose in order to pique interest or to get people to say, well, maybe there's a shot that this McGregor guy. You know, I looked at the odds because another guy on Friday called in and he said, everyone's betting on McGregor. So I go, okay, well, what are the odds? Well, I don't know. 85% of the bets that have come in are for McGregor, so that's why he's going to win. Well, they opened the odds when the betting started. It was 700, I believe that's right, 700-1 odds for Mayweather. So you would have to bet, I'm trying to think, you would have to bet $700 to make a dollar. That can't be right.
This betting is so weird. So many numbers.
I do not get it, dumb.
Push 400, give him 5. Over under? What does that mean? Seriously, it's so stupid and confusing. Just smoke some weed.
It must have been 70-1 odds. 70-1 odds.
Okay. So he was the favorite.
You would have to bet $7,000 in order to make $100. If you bet on Mayweather.
Okay. Is that right?
Was that lopsided?
That's right.
Because everybody was saying Mayweather, they were saying if McGregor won, it would break all the bookies in Vegas. It would kill, it would cripple them.
Well.
Destroy them. Because of these odds.
It would have been a huge, huge payout. But, they generally tend to hedge their bets, basically. So those were the opening odds, and they'll adjust those, and they adjust them not always necessarily on, oh, do they think that someone now is more prepared to win? Like, oh, McGregor has a better shot? No, they adjust it based on how much money they have coming in betting on one side. So if all your money is bet on McGregor in the beginning, and no one is bet on Mayweather, you're the bookmaker at the casino, you go, okay, well, we have a problem if McGregor does win. We have no money coming in. We had to pay all this out. So they adjust the odds and make them more favorable to Mayweather then. Not more favorable, but they, it's not 70-1. It might be 30-1 or 20-1 in order to entice people to make that Mayweather bet just in case. So I got all cut up. I watched this. Did anyone else watch the fight?
Did you guys watch the fight? I watched the whole thing.
Yes. Quite a pain in the ass to watch it. I was in Denver at the time, and we went over to some area in Colorado called Black Hawk. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of Black Hawk?
No.
It's just a little mountain village, and it's just 10 casinos. That's all they have there. So we're like, if we're going to watch the fight, they'll have it at these casinos. Not one of those casinos was playing the fight. Not one. So then we had to drive back into Denver to go to a bar, and we're gonna $40 a person to get in to watch the fight. And I go to pay for it. I go, fine. We'll pay the $40 to get in. They go, oh, no, you got to be on the list to watch it. And I go, are you kidding? Like, nobody would let me watch this fight.
On the list?
Yeah, you have to be you have to reserve a table just to watch the fight. And I go, well, screw this. So we went back to the casino area where we had a hotel. And then we were going to pay the $100, whatever it was, you know, to watch it. The hotel didn't have Showtime, so no, that was out. So then we have a laptop. Okay, we'll pay the $100 and we'll watch it on a laptop. We'll all crowd around it in the hotel room to watch it. Wouldn't work. Just would not accept our credit card. So then I had to illegally stream it on Periscope.
Oh, illegally streamed it.
Rover.
Everybody
tried.
Did. I tried every possible route I could.
I went
out of my way to go to a casino village. I went back into Denver to try to get it. Then I tried to put in the credit card information. Wouldn't work. So then the first stream's looking pretty good. Like, it's an actual straight rip from the TV.
Right.
That guy gets shut down pretty quick. So next thing I know, I'm watching a guy holding his phone, watching his TV on Periscope. Yeah. That's how
a lot of people did
that.
That's
how I did that.
A lot of people.
Oh, you did it too?
Got home from work.
I tried, though. I mean, I really tried to pay the money. But whatever, he's a woman beater. I did it. I mean, I feel okay streaming it.
Well, this was a blowout fight with my girlfriend and I. I got home from a wedding, and I said, oh my God, I got home in time to watch the fight. Let's turn the fight on. She goes, well, I just started watching the show on Netflix.
What?
About body painting.
Well, Netflix, like, they have you can go back and watch it anytime. Point,
right? I'm really into it. I'm in the middle of binge watching, and I really don't want to watch that fight.
Oh,
it's really
God.
Not that big of a deal. I said, not that big of a deal. The entire world is going to watch this fight except us.
I
started sulking and pouting on Facebook, and then I just happened to come across somebody I know streaming it live, so I got to watch from the fourth round on. It was awesome.
Oh, you missed the first three rounds?
I did miss the first three rounds.
The first three rounds are where McGregor was doing the best.
Fantastic.
I was going to say, because I didn't see anything. I didn't show McGregor do anything after that. I mean, I was
zero after
nothing.
Right. And
no, but
the first three rounds, but you have to remember, this is how Mayweather starts all of his fights. Literally every single one of his fights, he does nothing in the first couple of rounds.
Robert, one of the commentators was saying, I've never seen Mayweather like this.
I certainly haven't watched all of Mayweather's fights, 50 of them, but I've seen enough of them. And I would say that his style of this fight was, I'd never seen it. I mean, I told you Friday, I said, this is going to be a boring fight. Mayweather is an unbelievably defensive fighter. He has, if you watch his fights, he has this ability to basically almost use his left shoulder as like, you can't get past it in a way. Like, you can't punch this guy. He just like could go back and he's just a very defensive fighter. But he was, after that third round, he had it figured out and he just kept coming forward. I'd never seen him attack like that ever before. He must have had zero concern about getting knocked out. Zero concern.
Well, the first three rounds, he looked like it. When he caught him with an uppercut, McGregor, it was like the first or second round, I don't know if you saw this.
Yeah.
He surprised him and hit him with this uppercut, and I went crazy. He could have knocked him out with that. He caught him like, oh, this can be good. He might surprise him, and I thought that Mayweather, once he started getting hit in the first and second round, he was so cautious. McGregor was, how much bigger did he look next to Mayweather? I mean, size-wise, he looked like he was 20 pounds.
He probably was 20 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
I
think Mayweather was worried at first about getting knocked out.
I mean, look, anyone's going to be worried about getting knocked out, but I think he had him completely figured out after those first couple of rounds. I don't think he had a care in the world after the first couple of rounds.
Don't you think he also got tired, McGregor? Mayweather
obviously.
Yeah, Mayweather said, oh, I know, he's not used to fighting for a long time. So once he got to the fifth, sixth, seventh round, then he could put the pressure on.
So for the first three rounds, I mean, that's what Mayweather always does. I never watch it. So he just stands there and gets punched a bunch? Or like, I mean, he's still
blocking
it.
Well, no, he normally doesn't get punched a bunch, but he normally takes time to sort of figure out what the guy's doing and start timing things up, seeing the other guys, you know, look, I'm not a professional boxer, so I don't know the terminology, but he just basically is feeling the person out and studying, for lack of a better term, his opponent. But I did not expect an exciting fight. It was much more of an exciting fight than I ever anticipated. But I knew come the, I would say, fifth round, I knew that that was, I knew that he had him figured out, and it was that Mayweather was going to win. I didn't know if he was going to knock him out or not, but I knew. And boy, as Mayweather just kept going forward, 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 and I'd never seen that before. He must have had just an unbelievable confidence that he was going to be able to take this guy out. Ryan in Washington, D.C., you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, Rover. How are you?
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, I'm not one to know a lot about betting, but I do know that I think you were wrong earlier. I think the final line on Mayweather was negative 500. So if you put $500 on Mayweather, you win $100 if he wins, not put $5,000, you win $1.
Right. Well, but it started at negative 7,000 was the opening, which would be 70-1.
Are you sure about that? I thought it was negative 700.
It might have ended up at negative 700 after they, because when it opened, it was negative 7,000, which would be 70-1. And that's how, but as I said, they adjust that throughout, you know, the months, in order to sort of hedge their bets and to have a more even betting spread. But it was definitely lopsided odds, betting odds.
So it was worth the $100 you spent?
Yeah, I would say so.
Oh, I woke up in the morning after we didn't pay the money. I was like, that's so awesome we didn't pay all that money. I feel so good about not paying that.
That's so wrong.
Did you pay, Dieter?
Well, I chipped in.
Oh.
We had five guys who was, what, 20 apiece? So it was just a house party, but to me, it was worth it. That whole fight, 10 rounds, people were like, "It's gonna." You were saying he has no shot. It was going to go a round, maybe two rounds.
I didn't say that. I did not say that. Are you kidding me?
You were making it seem like he had no shot. It was going to go a round or two, and he won 10 rounds.
You did say it would be a short fight.
Yeah, you were like, Mayweather's the best in the world. He has no...
He is? And okay, let's just put it this way. Mayweather hasn't knocked anyone out in how long? And he did it with this guy.
He still
that
did it.
Says something.
That wasn't a
that
knockout.
That says something.
That was that, not
no, that
a
shows
knockout.
You, that was a knockout. That was a knockout.
He was standing up. I don't understand boxing. Because when that happened and they called it, I went,
it's a technical knockout.
I was like, oh, they're taking a break or something. I didn't even understand it was even over because the guy was still standing on his feet. I didn't understand. I thought you have to fall over to get knocked out.
Well, they stop the fight if you're not defending yourself.
No, let him get punched. That's the whole point. I want to see a guy get his face blasted off and he's on the ground.
It almost did. It almost did. If that last downward blast would have hit him as Conor bent over, he might be dead. I mean,
yeah, that's the risk of boxing.
But
that's
love that people were like, oh, he'll never, there's no way McGregor will get knocked out by, and then it happens. And everyone said I was an idiot on Friday. Everyone. Dom, tell me about the phone calls that were coming in when I said Mayweather's going to win this fight. Did anyone agree with me on the phone?
No. Maybe one black dude agreed with you, but every other person that called in was pro McGregor.
I mean, this guy. I had to email this guy back. He emailed me on Friday. Rover, how stupid can you be? You think boxers have better cardio than MMA fighters? Boxers have great cardio, but MMA fighters do way more in their fights than boxers. A championship boxing match is 24 minutes across 12 rounds. That's wrong. It's three rounds apiece, so it's 36. Mayweather will most likely win, but he won't knock him out.
I love how everybody called me. I'm an ass kisser because I agreed with you that the greatest fighter of all time would win a fight. I mean, I just went
against
out on
a guy
limb.
Who never has been in a
what a limb I went
fight.
Out on to kiss your ass, right? Well, I mean, yeah. Come on, it was. I just don't understand why anybody believed this was going to happen the other way, other than just riding this great white hype hope that this guy's going to win and beat the woman beater.
It was so obvious too that after the fact that. These guys, I mean, the whole thing, the hype machine that they had going on, It's just, I mean, it's the same thing every single time. It's like politicians telling you what they're going to do, and then they get in and they don't do it. Well, this whole thing with, you know, McGregor said he was going to knock him out in the first four rounds, didn't happen. You know, the animosity that they were showing toward one another for the past 5 months.
Phony.
Completely phony. Fake, phony.
Did you hear they didn't sell out? There was a lot of seats left. Do you see that?
I did hear on the broadcast that they said an almost capacity crowd. Yeah, I go, really? An almost capacity crowd for this fight? You can't sell this fight out?
They did not.
Packed. The opening fights?
No,
they said
they did not sell that.
Definitely, yeah, and definitely in those opening fights, no one's in there to see those.
Oh, it was embarrassing, but...
But that's generally how it goes. Yeah. People are out gambling, they're drinking, they're doing other stuff, but they didn't sell this fight out. I mean, the tickets, I don't know. Maybe they were just, for nosebleed seats, maybe they were just outrageously expensive and no one wanted to pay that. Mike in Binghamton, New York, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
A couple of things. They reported that there was $1 million bets on this fight, and the payout was only $160,000. And they showed it after the fight. They showed the ticket, the guy was holding the ticket and everything. So he laid down $1 million to win $160,000. That's kind of ridiculous, don't you think?
That's a tremendous risk that you're taking to throw down $1 million just to win $160,000. But I guess the guy looked at it as a sure thing.
The owners of one of the Mahomes brothers, the guys who own the Sacramento Kings, they laid down $800,000, an $800,000 bet. But that kind of money to those people is, you know, it's not really that much money, but still, it's a huge risk.
It is a huge risk. I guess that's what makes it exciting for them. If you have that much money, you have to take risks like that in order to just be, you know, keep things exciting. It would be like going to a casino and betting blackjack and only playing $5 per hand if you're a multimillionaire. Probably not too exciting. So that's what keeps it exciting for them, I suppose. Sam, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Sam.
What's up?
Hey, man.
I just had a comment on the Mayweather fight. Has anyone else? He's supposed to be like the greatest boxer in the world.
What?
That took him 10 rounds to knock out a newbie. I mean, so you got to give McGregor his props on that.
No, I do give McGregor credit. He did much better than I thought he would be able to do. And I would say that Mayweather, look, the guy's 40 years old, that he's probably fighting the worst he's ever fought. And if you see the movement that he had, he was standing still. And very defensive guy who, you know, head always moving. You're just not able to hit the guy. The best fighters in the world are not able to hit Mayweather. So what changed? Is he just older? Was he not concerned about getting knocked out by this guy? I really believe after those first three rounds, I think that Mayweather thought to himself, he had it figured out. I'm not going to get knocked out by this guy unless I just make a tremendous mistake. And McGregor was also hammer fisting him like every 30 seconds, you know, in the back of the head.
Instinct. He's an MMA guy. How can you blame him?
Mikey in Rochester, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Mikey.
Yo, Rover, what's going on?
Yo, what's happening?
I was the one caller that called in on Friday and actually agreed with you and said that Mayweather was just going to play with him. And I couldn't agree more. Anytime after round four, Mayweather just extended that fight. There were so many times he had the opportunity to land two or three more shots on a counter, and you could just watch him back off and not finish it. He did the right business decision and made it go 10 rounds and made it look nice, but he just toyed with McGregor the entire time.
Well, I will say that Mayweather, he was very gracious in his win. He thanked the fans from Ireland. I thought that was a classy thing to do. I don't like Mayweather, by the way. Anyone who thinks I'm a big Mayweather fan, I don't like the guy. I think he's a jerk.
Yeah, as a human being, he's a trash bag.
Yeah, but I was surprised to see how classy he was in the win and after the fact, and it was a good fight. It was very entertaining. I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. I do have to take a break. We have Anthony Sullivan coming on. He is, do you know the OxyClean guy? He's the pitch man. He pitches various things. He's going to be on.
He has an accent?
That's right. Yeah, he's gonna be on with us in just a moment. We'll be right back. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory.
Your first chance of the day to win a trip to Las Vegas for our 2017 iHeartRadio Music Festival happens at 8:30 on MMS.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5.
It's Rover's Morning Glory on 100.7 WMMS, Cleveland's rock station.
They're all normal people.
Astronomical expectations.
Swift kick to the nuts.
I squeezed that turtle head.
You're a drug courier.
Yep, all perfectly normal. Welcome back to Rover's Morning Glory.
All right. Do you know who Anthony Sullivan is, Dieter?
Yeah, of course.
All right, he's the TV pitch man. You may not know the name. You'd know him just by his face and voice, and he's selling stuff. OxyClean. You'd always see him in these OxyClean commercials.
He can sell anything.
He took over after that Billy Mays guy died. I mean, I think they worked together before that, but he's kind of like the face of all that. And he was pitching stuff for I don't know how many years. Long time. What a weird job that is, huh? How do you even get into something like that? Selling stuff on TV. And is it, how much of a skill is that, Dieter?
I think it's a big skill to get people to buy it in 30 seconds. You got to sell something.
Oh, they have 30 minutes for these things.
Oh, yeah. Talk about the whole
spot.
The
infomercials.
Yeah.
It's like a stand-up comedian. They go up there, they make it look easy, I suppose. But it probably is a real talent to be able to pitch this stuff. Anthony, good morning. How are you, my man?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing all right. So, how in the world did you end up doing this as a career? Did you have other jobs before this? Did you stumble into this? Was this a life plan of yours? How did this come about?
OxyClean gets the tough stains out.
That's right.
No, I had to drop that in. How did I get started? I kind of stumbled into it, actually, believe it or not. A friend of mine had a parking ticket, and he had a stand at a flea market, the equivalent of a flea market in England. And I went over there one day when I was a kid, and I saw this guy pitching this car washing device called the Amazing Washmatic, and I was kind of mesmerized by his, you know, watching him do his thing. And I just went up to him and gave him a nudge and said, listen, I think I could do this. I think I'd be good at it. And he kind of blew me off for the first couple times, and then eventually I just kept you know, persistence. I'm like, look, I really think you should teach me how to do this. So he kind of gave me the basic rundown of what to do, how to pitch, and I went up there and I stood there and I did my first pitch back in the early 90s at a little market in a place called Biddeford, and I sold one car wash in my very first pitch, and it was this moment I'm like, that was easy. And then I did another pitch and I sold two, and I kind of all day, my very first hour, I sold seven car washes, which I didn't think was very good, but the guy who I was working for was like blown away, and he said, be back here tomorrow 8 a.m. I'm gonna, you know, you're gonna go on the road for me. And I kind of traveled all over the UK, London, Cardiff, you name it. I worked it, mostly doing street stuff. And I turned the TV on in the early, but you know, I turned the TV on one day and I saw my first infomercial, and that was when the light bulb went off, and I thought, you know, I need to get on television doing this, because it was tough, it was hard work. I kind of look back on it now like it was this great, you know, time, but it was really hard. It was cold, you know, England, wet, rainy, working outside. And then I decided to come to the States in the early 90s. I went to but pretty much sold everything I had, jumped on a plane, went to L.A., and thought I would just, you know, go find someone who's making these infomercials. Well, that didn't work out quite the way I wanted it, but I you know, did the same thing in the States, worked all over the lower 48. I think I've been to nearly every single convention center in America. And I wound up at, this is, you know, pretty long story short, I wound up working in the home show in St. Petersburg, Florida, which is where HSN is based. And HSN saw me doing my shtick, and they said, hey, you need to be on TV. And I was like, ready to go. Where do I stand? And I went on TV back in 93, my first time ever on TV, and I sold 5,000. I'd switched to selling mops. I'd upgraded from selling car washes to mops, and I sold 5,000 mops in 22 minutes, the first time I ever went on live TV. And
now, is that a big number? Because I don't know what's a measure of success. If you sell something on Home Shopping Network,
that's a big first time out. If you go out first time on the air and you sell 5,000 of anything, that is a big number. That's $100,000 worth of merchandise in 20 minutes, and they were ecstatic. And I was a little bit, I was kind of a deer in the headlights. I wasn't quite sure, like you, if it's that good or is that bad. And they were like, no, those numbers, we haven't seen numbers like that for a long time. Can you kind of be back here tomorrow? And I was like, yeah, of course. So that's how it all started. And during that time is when I met Billy Mays. Billy and I worked on the road together. And that's how Billy and I became friends. And fast forward, the two of us cut our teeth at HSN. He ended out on HSN the same time as me, and he became the original OxyClean guy. And we set up a production company in the about 1998-99. Billy and I decided to start making commercials. We kind of conspired. We're like, man, we gotta take our talents to TV. And that's how we ended up. That's how you know us. That's how now you see us on TV selling stuff.
And by the way, Anthony has a book. It's called You Get What You Pitch For, which yep. is going to be coming out in stores in about 2 weeks on September 12th. You can pre-order it on Amazon and other places. And so that's sort of the in a nutshell, how you get started doing the first time you get on TV. Was it natural because you'd been doing these pitches in front of a live audience, or was it different because you can you don't have that immediate feedback from the live audience?
I was crapping myself first time I was on television. I thought I had it, and I remember when the camera swung in my general direction. I write about this in my book, and it kind of goes back to a bit of the subject matter in my book, is if you're in a situation and you're a little bit out of your depth, if you're prepared, if you know your pitch will save you, and it saved me. And as nervous as I was, I realized, I'm on the big stage, it's live TV, it's sink or swim, it's float or die, and I am like, okay, I got it. And the only thing that I had that I knew would save me was my pitch. I'd done this pitch 1,000 times, probably 10,000 times. And I literally turned around and I'm like, just do your pitch. Just do your pitch. It's the one thing you know. So my heart's beating out of my chest. I'm sweating. And I'm like, just do your pitch. And the minute I went to my pitch, everything sort of calmed down. I found my gear, I found my pace, and that's when the numbers started to click. And it's a little bit what I get into. There's a whole chapter about that experience in my book, because I didn't go to college. I don't have a degree. I really love what I do. I've made a lot of money doing it. I have a large production company down here in Florida. And I thought, there's something to a pitch. There's some magic to it. Whether you're going into pitch for a raise, whether you want to get a job. I know when you probably started your career out in radio, you have to go and you have to pitch somebody, and you can look great on paper, but if you don't have a great pitch, you're not going to get hired. You're not going to get the date. You're not going to crush the meeting. You're not going to get the deal. So I just sort of write about the mechanics of how to be prepared.
Because most people aren't going to go on TV selling mops or OxyClean or whatever, but you're telling me that some of this stuff can be used in everyday life.
I have more people come up to me. Many people have asked me, what's your story? And it is an unusual career choice, right, to sell stuff on TV. I work with companies like Nutrisystem right now. I actually was just watching the news and with all the hurricane stuff, and it's like tragedy what's going on down there right now. But Nutrisystem ads are on, and I work with some pretty high-level people. Nutrisystem is, one of the biggest weight loss companies in the world, and they recognize the power of the pitch. So it's not just about selling on TV. I've discovered that you can use and I break it down in my book a little bit, pitch powers, just to help you get ahead. And I have everyone from pro triathletes to people trying to get a job. Like, how do I sell myself? What do I do to sell myself? What do I got to do? So I tried to get into it, because I realized for me, my pitch has got me through life. Like I said, I didn't go to college, don't have a degree, and I've managed to pitch my way through, you know, and some people say, oh, you're just good at BSing people, but there is an art to it. And I like to think I could share it with some people and help some people out.
Now, every time I see some new product, some newfangled thing come on TV, yeah, and they're talking about how great it is and it does this, it's going to change my life, the first thing I ask myself is, if it's that great,
right,
why is it on TV? Why isn't it just in the stores? Like, everyone would be clamoring for this because it's so fantastic. Why are they pitching this to me on TV in a 30-minute infomercial if it's that great?
Most of the products that we sell, and I learned this when I was, they require a pitch. If you just put a vacuum cleaner in a store, it generally speaking, it will you'll sell a couple. But if you get me behind it and I start pushing that vacuum cleaner and I start telling you about the suction power and about the cyclonic action and about it works on this surface and that surface and it weighs 25 pounds and it's got all these, it's the pitch that is the difference between selling one vacuum cleaner and 10. That works for steam cleaners. You know, I can put a steam cleaner on a shelf and you'll sell one for the person who went in there to buy a steam cleaner. But if you put someone like me behind it and we start giving you the pitch, all of a sudden, I've actually done the math on this, and you will sell 10 times more if you pitch the product as if you just let it sit there. So most of the products we have, they kind of meet a certain criteria. They have a little wow factor to them. So you see a lot of brooms, you see a lot of cleaning products, you see a lot of vacuum cleaners, you'll see food processors, frying pans. I mean, you put a frying pan down in front of you, okay, it's a frying pan, but now let me show you how this frying pan is like nonstick, it's lightweight, you can make this and that, and eggs come right out of it, and plastic.
Is there a certain audience, like all of these things are, like you said, they're cleaning products, they're frying pans, or this or that. Are the products that you're pitching on TV, are they more geared towards a certain demographic, women or age range or something like that? Is there a reason for that?
The big winners we go for, and I get made fun of a lot. And, you know, even when I was a kid, my friends, you know, oh, you sell mops, so you sell these, like, kitschy products. But I was like, yeah, we sell products that everybody wants and everybody needs. So if you look at the things that are generally speaking on TV on Saturday morning or late night, it's weight loss, it's get fit, it's cooking, it's cleaning. It's gender neutral, it's age neutral, it's race, color, creed neutral. Like everybody, you know, we try and cast a very, very wide net.
Have you ever had a product that someone came in and they want you to pitch some company or whatever, and it's crap? And you decline?
Yeah, a lot. I'd say 99% of everything I look at is in that category. I'd say 1% of the products I look at, if that, are worth us embracing. I mean, I've got about, right now I have about 10 to 12 projects in some phase of production, from sitting down writing a script to actually pushing them out the door. And I'm very selective. It's quite easy to get to me and present your product, because you never know when you're going to find that nugget of gold.
Right.
But I will say 99% of everything we see doesn't fit the criteria that we need. It may be a good idea. I mean, I'll see, you know, a lot of people show me kids' products. And, you know, we have to, you know, turn the marketplace, the audience is not big enough. And what's happened is with our business, which I'm super grateful for, is the retailers have jumped on board. If you go into Walgreens or CVS, Walmart or Target, there's a whole As Seen on TV section. Actually, I was in Walgreens yesterday, and there's a complete As Seen on TV section. So our business has gone from just being on TV to being in retail and Amazon everywhere. And I don't know where it's going next, but it's a fun business, because I never know. I mean, last year we were in the tactical flashlight business. There was this tactical flashlight called the Atomic Beam, and I didn't know it was going to be a big hit item, but we found out that that was where a new trending product, and we've sold over 5 million Atomic Beam flashlights.
What the hell are people going to do with a tactical flashlight? I mean, I'm just curious. I mean, this is I guess that's the power of the pitch.
Yeah.
Like, I look at that, I see it on TV, I go, what the hell am I ever going to need that thing for? But a lot of people must look at it and go, I need that for whatever reason. This is the one, like, you can see for like 18 miles away or something like that.
It's sort of the fun part of the business, because we get to write these creatives, right? So I'm sitting down looking at this inanimate object. I'm like, right, How do I create buzz and excitement around a tub of OxiClean? What am I going to do to make this better than anything else that's out there in the laundry category? So Billy and I would sit down, and Billy would get a, you know, a bottle of Chardonnay out, and we'd stop, you know, drinking one bottle, two bottles, and we'd literally sit, you know, write these crazy scripts, and we'd end out with, it's about 320 words is a two-minute script. So, and 15 seconds of that is for the end of it. So 1 minute 45 is 320 words, and we have to condense our pitch into that. And working with Billy was amazing because he was the master at pitching and the absolute master. So the two of us together with me kind of executing his vision, it was fantastic. So whether it's from OxiClean to tactical flashlights to Nutrisystem with Marie Osmond, we're always looking for, you know, the great pitch.
Now, Anthony Sullivan, who is a famous TV pitchman, he has a book coming out in a couple of weeks called You Get What You Pitch For. Walk me through how this works. If I have a product,
yep,
and I come to you, let's say I've created the world's greatest whatever
napkin pants. They're sure. Pants made of napkins, and you can
pants.
Wipe your hands on them and peel them off.
All right, so I
saw that the other day somewhere.
What? That's my invention.
No,
I had this for 3 years.
You have a patent on that, Charlie?
I don't.
So if I have an invention or whatever, and I come to you. How do you guys, do people pay you in order to pitch the stuff? Do you buy this stuff out and say, we like this product, we want to buy this, the rights to this product and pitch it ourselves? I mean, if I bring something to you, how do I make money off of it?
There's a number of ways you can do it. Most inventors that walk in here are pretty strapped for cash, and many of them have sort of leveraged a lot of their savings into the prototype that they have. They don't have the money, and it takes about $10 million liquid to roll a product out. A hit product, if you want to roll it out, costs about $10 million in cash is what you need to put it everywhere. Just say you want to have a massive hit.
Mm-hmm.
So people don't have access to that kind of cash, obviously. We do. So we'll sit down and we'll work a royalty position sometimes, or we'll say, you know what? Give me a product, Rover. I will pay you a retainer. I love your idea. I'm going to give you a $50,000 advance against royalties, and we'll cut a revenue share stream where you just take a position on the royalty. I'll do my due diligence to make sure that your product is, in fact, your product, that you have the IP, the intellectual property locked up, and you can take a position on the back end, and you walk away, and you have a right to audit, and we guarantee you that we're going to hit a certain amount of numbers, and you normally give us like a 120-day test period, but I'm going to say I need 120 days. I'm going to shoot a commercial. I'm going to see if I can roll this thing out. And you just take a position and you go back to, you know, DJing, whatever you want to do, and you don't have to worry about a single thing.
Mm-hmm.
That is the cleanest way to do it. A lot of inventors have a very difficult time with that model because it means they have to relinquish control. And all of a sudden, they're like, well, I want control. But 99% of inventors are not marketers. So while they think they know about marketing, they generally speaking don't. So we try and we'll take all the risk and we'll just pay a position on the back. And that royalty can fluctuate depending on how hot your product is and how many we think we can sell and how good the intellectual property is.
What's the product that you personally or your company, now we know about OxiClean and all this, but that your company has made the most money on?
I would say the biggest hit for us in this last 5 years was a product which I absolutely love. I actually hooked my brother up with it, was the Hurricane Spin Mop, which is the mop that has like a salad spinner. It's like a washer and a dryer for your mop.
I'm not even familiar with this one. Maybe I need to look this up.
You can look it up. The Hurricane Spin Mop. We sold the bejesus out of that thing. And we have a new mop that I just saw 2 weeks ago. Somebody brought it in here. And I'm not kidding you. I almost like started salivating. I got Pavlov's mop syndrome. I get excited when I see mops. So we got a new mop. I can't tell you too much about it because it's brand new, but it's going to be hitting the airwaves in the next like 10 to 14 days.
Now, do you have a name for this? Do you come up with the name, or do they have the name?
I can't tell you the name right now because it's top secret.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tweet you, text you, Instagram you. I will send you one. I actually came up with a name for it. It came in here. It was a bucket, and it was a mop, and it had a kind of – there's a little trick to it. and we didn't have a name. And I literally, we start thinking up names, and we've come up with a name, and we marketed it from scratch. And hopefully that is going to be the next massive winner. But one thing I've learned in this business, even though when I think I know, I don't know. I cannot ever read the general public's enthusiasm for a product.
What's your biggest failure been? So we know the biggest success. What's the one that...
talk about failure. I've had no failures. My life is an unbroken boulevard of green lights.
You were friends with Billy Mays. I remember when he died. I forget what year that was.
2009, June 28th.
I remember at the time. Now, this is just how people are. Don't tell me, but I just at the time, no one knew why he died. And immediately, the thinking from everyone is, well, this guy was so amped up. He was like always on TV, like boom, 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 just totally. And everyone's like, this guy's got to be on drugs. He's got to be on something, because no one just is up like that all the time. You know, who has that amount of energy?
I'll give you the short version, roughly. Obviously, that came to the forefront, and it was a bit heartbreaking for me to see my best friend kind of labeled with this, oh, he has to be on drugs because he's up all the time. If you met Billy in real life, he was the polar opposite in real life as he was on TV. The minute that little red light come on, this inner pitch man would come out, and he would just like light up. The minute the camera came off, he would be the most mellow, like just peaceful. This is very difficult to imagine. He was 50. We were doing a reality show. We had a crazy coast-to-coast shooting schedule. He was going in for his third hip surgery the day he died. He was actually going in for his third hip surgery. He didn't have the greatest diet. He loved his red wine. He didn't get to exercise. He couldn't exercise because of his hip. He's working like an absolute crazy man. And I know his pain level was extremely high because of his hip surgery. And he would obviously medicate through that pain with prescription medication that he was prescribed. And to me, looking back on it now, it was the perfect storm of everything. If you went to your doctor and said, right, I want to prescribe someone a heart attack, Billy had every single box was checked off, and it was he had an old-fashioned heart attack. His heart just gave out. He couldn't keep it up. And I wish, if I could turn back time, I sometimes feel like I could have said something or done something or slowed a couple things down, and maybe he'd still be here today. But I feel like it was a perfect storm of everything. And he left behind his wife Deborah and his beautiful little girl who was 5 or 6 at the time, and his son little Billy. It's really, really sad. So everyone out there can draw their own conclusions and say whatever they think, but I was with Billy every single day, and he is my closest friend at the time. I never had more fun in my life working with him. So when he passed away, it really sucked on every single level. I've kind of come to terms with it now because, it's a long way down the road, and I had a pretty depressing year that year because of that, and I just decided to pick it up. Keep going. Keep the pitch alive. I write about Billy in my book. There's actually quite a lot in there because I learned so much from him. And I think Billy would be proud of the fact that I kept it going, kept OxyClean going. And whenever I get a chance to talk about him, I always try and tell people, he was the best at what he did. He was an artist. And if that guy could sell, and, if people only had a little bit of Billy Mays in them, trust me, you go and you nail it. Billy could get anything he wanted. Billy could persuade the pants off anything. He was the best.
Well, Anthony's book is called You Get What You Pitch For. It is in stores on Tuesday, September 12th. You can pre-order on Amazon.com.
Pre-order it.
How about that pitch? Look at that. That's a real pro right
I'm a huge fan of Anthony. Yeah. I'm an As Seen on TV guy.
All that stuff.
I wanted to give this little message to Anthony.
What is it?
Thank you to him.
What are you getting?
He'll know what this is.
Oh, I just heard
what
a noise.
What was that, Anthony?
I heard something crack. I'm trying to think what that is.
That's a comfort click belt, my friend.
my product.
You are the man. This belt has changed my life, sir. I'm not kidding you. Guys, if you are a little overweight, maybe you have a dad bod, maybe you're just a regular bod guy, this click belt has changed my life. You have a big
I've
meal?
I've never even heard of this.
Oh, it's awesome, dude. You got to get a click belt, Robert.
What'd you pay for it?
$19.95!
With shipping and handling, right?
No, plus shipping and handling. Right. That's right. That's always more. A click belt.
It's an amazing product. I'm hearing the click.
There it is. That's right. I'd never even heard of that until now. Anthony, well, good luck with the book, and thank you for coming on. I appreciate it, my man.
Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it. Life's a pitch, and then you buy the books available on Amazon, and if you want to get ahead and you want to do it and you want to learn how to pitch, it's the book to read. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Anthony Sullivan. All right. A click belt. I've never heard of this. That's a fat guy thing.
Yeah.
Like, does it look like a normal belt?
Yes.
Oh, it's
really
totally
nice.
Normal belt.
Because, I mean, you can't.
But it's for an expanding waist.
Oh, so, it's like, great. You...
Or contracting.
Let me see. Let's.
It's a great belt. You don't see these infomercials?
No, I've never like seen that.
So, where are we at here?
It looks like a real belt.
So, it looks like it. So, there's. Okay, I see.
It's like train tracks.
It's like. Right. Is it's like a zip tie, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's like this
plastic zip tie.
There's this little lever in here.
Mike.
I have no mic on you.
Radio.
It's,
I mean, just
describe
it.
Give him the microphone. There you go. Yeah, go ahead.
There we go. Can you hear me?
Yes. Right.
So it's got this little thing in it, and then you slide it in like a normal belt. Normal belt, you go through the loop, you pull it back, right?
Right.
This one, you go in one way, slide it, and then... What? It's a click belt.
Do it. So instead of having a
hole.
So it's adjustable.
You could put a pipe through. This is just...
Yeah, no bar to go through. Yeah. So it's adjustable.
But they have
so
a
like,
fake bar to make it look like
What's
a real
that for?
Belt.
Just to make it look like
it's
a normal
classy,
belt.
Yeah.
Make it look like a regular old
so
belt.
So dumb. It's just like 3 in the morning, you wake up, you're out of it, and you see this on TV, and you're like, I got to order this.
Got to have
this
it.
This is the best
I gotta
man
have
belt.
It. Well, no, you have one big meal. So you got this thing tight, right? You're... Keep your pants up.
You go have some steak.
Keep your pants up. Pants up.
Uh-huh.
Stop got a juggling. Big meal. Oh, God, your nuts are showing.
And then you...
So then you eat all this. Thanksgiving. You go, turkey. Oh, I'm feeling all bloated. You go to sit down. Oh, I'm going to rip my pants.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to rip my pants. Oh, instead, you go, let me just loosen one
just
click.
Just loosen your click belt.
Oh, maybe two clicks, three clicks.
Did you buy this
loose.
Off of TV, or did you get this in a store?
As seen on TV section.
I see.
Yeah, they have them in all these stores now.
Oh, yeah.
I've never heard of this.
In every store now, you'll see a section that says as seen on TV.
Oh, I've seen that, but I've never heard of the click belt.
Oh, yeah.
The comfort click belt. I'm telling you, Rover, you would love this, dude, because sometimes you'll
indulge.
Are you
going to cut of this? How much you're promoting this?
He's going to send this to Anthony.
I get a cut for this. I should get a cut. As much as I tell people.
Endorsement with this? I mean, this is 5 minutes of you talking about a damn belt.
Dumb's going to go from pitching brake pads to click belts.
Click belt. But no, it's a great product. I love it. Stand by it.
All right. I do have to take a quick break. We will be right back on Rover's Morning Glory. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory.
Tickets for the Pixies, Danzig, and Roger Waters, plus a whole slate of dumb crap. The Alan Cox Show back live at 3 today on MMS.
No station.
No matter what day it is, Jeffrey's either stuttering. Or lying.
What a liar this guy is.
Or both.
Whatever.
This is Rover's Morning Glory.
There's a guy came to the radio station. This might be a first on the show. He made a bet with me on Friday. He wanted to bet $100 that McGregor was going to win that fight. I said, I'll take that bet all day long. And I guess he showed up.
Well, Rover, I did mention he's a friend of mine. I don't associate with people who don't keep their word.
Uh-huh.
And so my friend is here to pay up.
You can't take the money.
What? Are you kidding me? I'm taking his money. What do you mean? What? You can't take the money.
And this guy would be expecting Rover to pay, right?
Oh, he did expect Rover to pay.
Of course.
Yeah,
that's fine, but...
A bet's a bet.
He came all the way down here.
So
take his money.
Shake his hand.
Bring this guy in. Let's no,
say thank
take
you.
It. No, I'm
don't.
Taking his money. Are you kidding me?
I can't believe you're honestly going to take his money. I feel bad for the guy. This He's like so nice.
This is so douchey. If douchey had made this bet, she would have, she would have wanted.
Would she expect you to pay Rover if you made a bet with her?
Of course.
Well, duh.
Right.
Well, then
right.
How can you say yeah,
and if douchey made the bet, she'd want the money. Of course.
Actually, you stole $300 from me.
No,
so
I didn't.
So I'll take this $100. In fact, I'll take the money. Now you owe me two.
Good morning.
How you doing?
What's your name?
Rob.
Rob. All right. So, you watch this fight?
I did.
Did you the whole time think to yourself, damn it. Rover was right.
You had to be feeling good the first couple rounds, McGregor.
First three rounds, I was kind of confident that he had him on tilt.
Uh-huh.
But I have to admit, it didn't turn out the way I planned. You were right, and I was wrong.
All right. You don't need to kiss his ass,
That's
Rob.
Right.
Come
the
on.
One guy, only guy to say that today. Everyone else, everyone on Friday, Rover, you're an idiot. You're so stupid. McGregor's going to win. Oh, you're so dumb. Silence today. Crickets. I just had a guy send me a text message. He goes, Rover, you're such an idiot for thinking the way you do about the fight. The only reason the only reason McGregor lost is because he was too tired. I go, okay, so you're too tired to defend yourself. Your arms are at your side. You're getting pummeled. That is a loss. What do you mean?
The ref stopped it.
Yeah, I mean, what is this? What does that even mean? He was too tired. That's the only reason he lost. He couldn't fight back. Do you think, was it going to get better as time? There were 2 minutes left in that round. What was going to happen?
Long?
Yeah, what was going to happen?
Yeah, he was not going to get a third wind.
No. I mean, my God. It was a good fight, though. It was entertaining.
It was. I was hopeful that McGregor was going to throw a beating on the guy because Mayweather deserves a beating,
mm-hmm.
but... Mayweather's a hell of a fighter. You can't argue that.
He deserves a beating because he's a woman beater? Is
that
it?
Yeah, he's just a dirtbag.
Or because he's a black guy. I don't know. Maybe you're one of these KKK guys.
Oh, my God.
Right. I'm just wondering.
Oh, absolutely
Dunn told me a lot of people were saying that I didn't.
A lot of his friends, too, yeah.
I didn't really. It never really crossed my mind. Like, oh, it's white versus black. That never crossed my mind until Friday when we talked about it, and Dunn told me that everyone was making it into that.
You put your hands on a woman, you deserve a beating.
I agree with you. This guy is going to prison for beating women in the past. So he's a bad guy. There's no question. Look, maybe he can redeem himself. Maybe he's changed his ways. Everyone deserves a second chance, I suppose. But I think he's beaten more than one woman. I don't think this was like a one-time thing.
I read the police report where his son wrote the letter. He actually wrote in the police report, I saw my daddy on top of mommy hitting her. Mommy yelled to go get the gate, open the gate. Mm-hmm. My daddy's friend blocked me at the door. I mean, just a horrible thing for any kid to have to go through. I mean, the guy's clearly a real dirtbag.
No,
I agree.
If he puts his hands in his pockets, that's lethal weapons because he's a professional boxer. You know,
not this again.
He's known as having lethal weapons. So if he strikes somebody, that's really an attempted murder.
No, it's not.
That's
right,
ridiculous.
Rover?
No.
He has two lethal weapons.
No.
Are they registered with the police?
Yes. He said he had to do that when he moved to Vegas.
Jeez. We got into a big argument on the air a few years ago that a guy called in and tried to tell me that, I don't know if it was him or his friend.
No, his daughter. His daughter is a registered... His daughter is registered with he had to go to the police department and register as lethal weapons.
Right. And I said, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And he swore up and down. He said, no, this is because she's a martial artist. Her hands are lethal weapons. She had to register these. I go, dude, and this guy was being dead serious about this. Then we had other people call in. Oh, this is true, Rover. You have to register. Oh, okay.
Allegedly, he had a piece of paper to back it up.
I don't have to register a gun. Now, a gun is definitely a lethal weapon, right? I don't have to register a gun, but someone has to register their hands. That's how ridiculous these idiots are, these morons.
I was a police officer for 14 years. I've never heard anybody coming into a police station to do that.
Well, we called the police station that this guy supposedly went to, and they go, no, they laughed. Actually, I believe they outright laughed at us, and they're like, are you guys stupid? Because we called them, we're like, listen, I'm a black belt. Do I have to register my hands as lethal weapons? They're like, are you for real, you jackass? So you were a police officer for 14 years?
I was.
Why did you stop doing that?
I was injured.
What'd you do? Did you slip on a wet floor, or were you involved in some big, like,
no, there was a
riot?
Big, there was a big bar fight. A guy allegedly had a gun. Next, you know, we were fighting. I went over to the hood of the cruiser, and my knee got snapped in between a push bar and the hood.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I had four knee surgeries in like an 18-month period. I have an artificial kneecap, a 4-inch pin in my femur.
Oh, man. So what happens? Do they just do you ever go back to the job and do desk duty after that? Or
no,
you were done?
I was done. I actually went and got my private investigator's license, and I started a small business.
Ah, all right. So that's what you do now. You're
correct.
A private investigator.
Correct.
What do you investigate mostly? Divorces and that kind of?
No, I stay away from all that stuff. I do a lot of background checks, drug testing. Matter of fact, I was actually emailing back and forth with Charlie.
Yeah.
But officer and drug testing services for NADS.
Oh, well, I can tell you he would decline that right off the bat. He's not going to, he doesn't want to be within 10 miles of a drug test.
Yeah, so we do a lot. I do tons of drug testing, pre-employment backgrounds, internal investigations.
So for security guards, truck drivers, anyone that needs that kind of stuff, you do that for. All right.
But you turn down if I have a girlfriend that is cheating on her husband and the guy wants to follow her, you'd turn that down?
I have another investigator that I would turn it over
to.
I had a bad experience. My first case ever was a domestic case for a friend of a friend, and it worked out that the girl was claiming that her husband was cheating. He was this terrible guy, had all kinds of arrests. I didn't even collect any money yet. I said, okay, as a friend, I'll look into this really quick, just preliminary. And next thing you know, that night, the girl started sending me photos to her dating sites. It got like really bizarre, and it went sideways right out of the gate. So I said, I'm done. I'm not getting involved in any of this.
I would have taken her up on that offer.
No.
Is she good looking?
No.
His wife is out in the hall, so just say.
Well, the funny thing is, she actually called my office, and my wife answered the phone. And this lady says, "What do you mean he's married? He didn't tell me he's married." It just got real bizarre. I'm like, I'm out. First case, I'm out.
All right. So you were confident that McGregor was going to win, but you were proven wrong. And he came down here to pay $100 to me.
I put my money where my mouth is.
All right. I'll put my hand out.
Rock.
There's the $100.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
A real man.
It's a man of honor right there. He only gave me 80. No, that's good.
Doozy took 20 in the hallway.
Yeah, right.
I'll give it to him.
No, that was a good fight, though. That was way more entertaining than I thought it was going to be. Dieter, what did you think of this?
Oh, I was so nervous at the beginning. I was just used to watching a Mike Tyson fight. You know, it's over in 20 seconds. I'm like, please don't be like that. I seriously didn't know if they're going to.
Did you think McGregor was going to knock Mayweather out in 20 seconds?
No, I was just nervous he would come out and, I don't know, just be really excited. And just be all over the place and going wild. But he looked like a pro boxer. I mean, he took the Mayweather. I'm like, holy crap. I didn't know he was that good. I knew he was a good boxer, but he looked like a pro.
I had a different, I don't know. He didn't look like a pro to me.
Rover, he was landing all those shots at the beginning. I was going crazy.
Just very unorthodox and
but
very,
that's weird
ass stance. And
it took... It caught him by surprise, Mayweather. He didn't know how to fight that. He was switching his stance. That's what Dumb wanted to do, and look all sweet and switch your stance and surprise the guy. He actually was able to do it.
He got caught, and then he got caught one time. I don't know what round it was. He got caught in the middle of one of those stance shifts.
He's like, maybe
that
I won't do that anymore.
That was the end of that.
Man, it's hard to pull off over and over again.
I didn't see in the first three rounds, did he break out that internet meme that's been going around, him throwing his arms, getting warmed up? Have you seen that?
He put his hands behind his back.
He did?
And the crowd was starting going crazy.
Yeah, he went up to you, Dieter. You fought Dumb with one hand tied behind your back. This was both.
Both hands.
Yes, Jeffrey, you're hovering. What is it?
Did you even watch it?
Yeah, I thought McGregor seemed to have the advantage in the first three rounds, and then Mayweather just turned it on. You know, he tired him out. That was Mayweather's strategy, because he knew that an MMA fight doesn't last as long as a boxing match.
Interesting.
Brandy, in Chicago, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Brandy.
Morning, Rover. How you doing?
Hey, what's happening?
All right, so Dumb did predict it. I went to the fight party, and it was two darkies, and honestly, it was straight silence.
Wait, what?
Straight silence. It was like, I was two darkies.
She was one of two black people at the, she's calling her fellow black people darkies, and there were only two black people, everyone else was white.
I could say the N-word. Uh-huh. I could say I can't say no more. I know. Charlamagne the guy can say it on his radio station, but we can't do it on here. Whatever. But the thing is that it was straight silence. It was like O.J. Simpson. It was just straight silence.
The white people were all stunned, basically, is what you're telling me.
I mean, well, you weren't. You were smart because you knew better. But they were really thinking he was a great white hope that was going to win, but he was going to get his ass whooped, just like how Dumb got his ass whooped last week.
God. Yeah, that was, oh, man, what a pathetic fight last week from Dumb. All right, Brandy, well, I appreciate it. Thank you. I do have to take a break. Thank you for paying up. He's a man of his word. I appreciate it.
Sorry, Rob.
No worries. Mind if I use the term talk slut and throw my company name?
All right, go ahead. Go. Wow. He's like the guy that we just had on.
Yeah,
Anthony Sullivan.
The
pitch man.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
Yes.
JAB Investigative Services.
That's worth the $100 yes. right there.
Absolutely.
Yes. Smart slut.
There you go.
I appreciate it.
All right. I do have to take a break. We will be right back with the news. The Shizzy. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory.
Tickets for the Pixies, Danzig, and Roger Waters, plus a whole slate of Dumb Crap. The Alan Cox Show back live at 3 today on MMS.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5.
All right, it's time for more Rover's Morning Glory on Cleveland's Rock Station, 100.7 WMMS.
You can watch RMG TV on your tablet or smartphone. Maybe while waiting at the free clinic.
We have your test results.
Or while you're waiting at the pharmacy.
Take this for a week and that should get rid of it.
Welcome back to Rover's Morning Glory.
The Shizzy is coming up in just a moment. What do you have on the way, Doogie?
Out of Portland, Oregon, a man woke up and he was surrounded by police. Where was he? What's the story behind this? I'll tell you the bizarre information next.
All right, we will get to that in just a moment. Dan, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Dan.
Yo, Rover, how's it going?
Yo, what's happening?
Hey, before the break, you guys were talking about the Mayweather-McGregor fight. Last week, you had the Dumb and Dieter fight, and was wondering if we can get a fight to make up for that between you and Charlie.
Oh, between me and Chocolate Charlie.
That would be the best thing ever.
A tickle fight?
You guys both have something to prove.
Uh-huh.
What do I have to prove? We've both said we're huge pussies.
Who's the
biggest pussy?
Charlie, you wouldn't like an opportunity to go head-to-head with Rover?
It's a lose-lose for me. After I would destroy Rover, he would hold it against me.
Uh-huh.
No, he would, and I just wouldn't be able to. I wouldn't be able to fight it 100% against my boss.
Have you seen this guy?
This
wrestle?
Guy, Charlie, won't fight against anyone. We give him the opportunity to fight against Jeffrey. He wouldn't do it.
I offered to fight Snitzer.
Or Rover. How about B2 versus Doogie?
I was going to say a more fair fight would be B2 versus Charlie.
Yeah, wow.
Right there. I mean, we've seen girls beat up Charlie in the past.
I actually saw Charlie throw a punch one time. You know those like bar punch things you can do where it measures your punch?
Yeah.
Well, I went to do it in typical Dumb fashion. I literally completely missed. I just missed.
I think it was like the score gives like 1 out of 900, and I think Dumb got a 12.
No, I actually missed the thing. I missed. I tried to punch it just like
How
I tried
you
to punch
that?
It. I apparently have bad depth perception or something because I can't hit the broadside of a barn with my fist, apparently. But Charlie stepped up. He hit this thing so hard. I'm not kidding you. He got almost to the top. Yeah. I couldn't believe how hard this guy hit. Mm-hmm. And it has to do probably because you just get your ass beat so much your whole life. You have to learn how to throw a punch.
Is it pent up frustration built inside?
Have you ever put your fist on somebody's face other than like your brother's? In a fight, like to defend yourself?
I've been in a couple fights, sure. And it was.
I tried to avoid fights now because you don't realize how much of a.
How much? Yes, it's a lot of work.
Oh my God. People see that fight that and they go, oh yeah, I could fight. Just not like that, obviously, but you don't realize.
3 minutes of dancing around like that?
Three minutes? Yeah. Are you kidding me?
No, 20
seconds of a real fight.
Wait, why'd you say
I mean, and this is not even like Dieter versus Dumb. I'm talking about like a bar fight.
Oh.
20 seconds, you're spent. You'll be recovering from that for that for a week. Yes, Jeffrey, what is it?
You know what? These arcades... Oops, sorry about that, dumb. No, these bars... You know, some of these bars have this boxing...
Dumb's claiming he broke his fibula in here, and he's Googling what a fibula break looks like.
What is a fibula?
It's your...
And your calf, the bone in your calf.
Yes, he's claiming that's broken from him falling over when Dieter hit him.
No. It wasn't when Dieter hit him. It was when he went to throw a punch and he missed and he fell over himself.
And he broke his leg. He's claiming right now he broke his leg over this.
He put all of his weight on his calf and it just buckled.
It might actually be broken. I'm looking at like fibula breaks and his leg looks like it. It's all swollen and he's got a big cankle right now because of it. And he's got a huge... It's just bubbly. Bubble foot. So Jeffrey just stepped on it. All right, go ahead, Jeff.
No, the arcades usually have this game. It's like a boxing simulator. You have the thing that looks like boxing gloves, and you like take on your opponent, and the game, you know, you're boxing, you know, with. It measures, you know, strength, punch, charisma, that kind of stuff.
I've never seen that. I've just seen the big, it's just got a big, like, speed bag thing that you just really, you hit once really hard. I've never seen, there's one where you have to defend yourself, too?
It's one where it's a screen, and there's your opponent right there on the screen, and it's like a simulator. Yeah, kind of like a virtual reality, it's like a boxing simulator.
Where'd you see that?
I don't know where it was at an arcade, arcade. I haven't seen one of those in years.
Now, I've seen those. They have like a body of someone. It's like a torso, and you punch it. You guys have never seen
torso
that?
Torso Bob?
I don't know.
I have one of those in my basement.
Are you kidding?
Dieter does have... One time I went into his apartment. You should see this guy. He has a house now, but I went into this guy's apartment just one time. He has a poster of Arnold Schwarzenegger on the wall right next to a real AK-47 that he just... I'm not even going to say mounted on the wall. He just put like two nails in the wall and just stuck this thing up there laying across. It's safe.
Secure. That's a mounted gun.
It's mounted with two nails.
Right. What else do you need? You need a guy to come in.
Then he has like this guy, just like this mannequin that he, I guess, beats up on or something.
Do you really? Like a sex?
Yeah, this thing.
Torso Bob.
Oh my God, Dieter.
What do you do with that?
You hit it. It's a punching bag, but it's lifelike.
He's naked.
And I put a t-shirt on him so it actually looks like a human being. It's the outline of a human being.
You actually use this thing?
Oh, yeah. I used to all the time. But then I got complaints because when it rocks, you have to fill the whole base up with water so it doesn't fall over. So when it rocked in my apartment, my neighbors would complain. They just hear like, boom, boom, boom. Every time you punch it, the base is moving.
Right. Well, now you have a house. You don't have to worry about that anymore.
Does he have underwear on? He's naked. Do you put a tank top? Just a dagotee?
There's actually a hole in the back. You could, you know, after you beat its ass, you bend it over. And, you know, what do you think? It's just a plain mannequin. There's nothing.
You were into mannequins when you were a kid, though. You used to tell stories about falling in love with mannequins. Did you ever, like, try to make out with your...
No, it's a torso Bob.
What if it was torso Jill?
Oh, yeah, then for sure. I'd drill a hole in it. No drill.
Put the flesh.
Do you know that Doogie, during that commercial break, was complaining to me that I kept that guy's $100? She's like, I can't believe you didn't give that $100 back to him.
I apologize.
No one expected that I was going to give that $100
back. There's no
back
chance
to
he would have taken it either. He's a man's man. There's no way he would have taken that back.
I apologize to Rob, the guy that came in. Probably 10 times. I'm so embarrassed.
What are you embarrassed about? The guy made a bet. I said, you sure you want to make the bet? Yes, I want to make the bet. Okay.
I just think it's classless and tacky and rude to take his money.
He texted me at 1:14 a.m. on Saturday night to say, what time should I be in?
Totally get it. And I love him for doing that. I understand. I love that he came up here. But you took it, and then you didn't give it back. Like, I expected you to be a man and say, okay, thank you.
Why are you saying this? Because Rubber makes a lot of money? Is that why?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, Vegas casinos have a lot of money. You don't give that money back.
They don't go, you know what? No. Nah, we don't want to take your money back. We're not actually going to take your money. Come on.
We are all very fortunate because of listeners, correct? And the fact that that listener, God love him for
listeners should know better to make bets against me then.
Here's the thing. The fact that you took his hard-earned money, you shouldn't do that.
But nobody ever comes in. My hard-earned money.
That's fine. You can give him your hard-earned money.
Why is that okay for me to give my hard-earned money, but not this guy to give his hard-earned money?
I just feel bad. I'm embarrassed.
He paid for commercials. It's all right.
Yeah, you got a plug-in.
A free, cheap commercial.
It's $100 less dollars that could have ended up in her hands is what it really boils down to.
No, you still owe me $300. Stop laughing, Jeffrey. You do owe me $300 from the scam that I won $300 and you took the money from me. But you,
listen to this. Is this
I don't digress. Don't shake your head.
Was it the cruise thing you're talking about?
Yes.
My girlfriend last night found out that her mom's old phone number qualified for that.
The three money, like if they called you with this telemarketing pitch, you can put your phone number in. There's some proposed settlement. You put your number in, and I guess they were violating telemarketing rules, and you may get up to, I think, $300 or $900.
Three times.
I think it's up to $900, yeah, or something. So my girlfriend goes, would it be stealing if I filled out that and put it in for my mom? I go, were you paying the phone bill at the time? And she goes, no. I said, then yes, that's 100% stealing. What are you? Yeah. She goes, well, I answered the phone.
Yeah, she was
and got
one.
Harassed a couple times.
So she took it?
Yeah.
Your mom won't. Her mom won't. Whoever's mom.
Same thing
won't.
With my. Same exact thing with my girlfriend. She looked up her old house phone, and it was on it. So she, I think she filled it out.
Really?
Why wouldn't you?
I told her not to. I said that you tell your mom. Give no. Let your mom get that money. That's they paid the phone bill.
I'm gonna look it up. I'm actually gonna register Dumb's girlfriend.
No. text her right now and tell her.
Do it now, honey. Yeah. If you're listening.
I get the whole it's a bet with a listener, but I'm actually disappointed that you did.
What?
I am. I really am. I mean, I'm not kidding. I'm not trying
to be
dramatic.
She just likes watching you lose money. This is all
that's
she's into.
Money.
Right. So if the guy would have come in to collect his bet today, if I would have lost, if I would have given him the $100, you would expect him to give that back to me?
No. That
What?
I'm not being a hypocrite. If you would have lost and you paid him and he walked out of here, you would have made him happy. And he would have taken him and been like, oh, that's pretty awesome. But the fact that he came down here and you took his money and then you didn't afterwards say, oh, you know, that's pretty cool. You're a legit dude. I appreciate it.
Dumb, can you come in here a second? Jeffrey, you out there?
He
come in here
walk.
A second.
Get
Jeffrey, come in here a second.
If you give it to Jeffrey.
I'm going to do one.
If you give it to these guys.
Here's $40 for you, Jeffrey.
No way.
What?
For what?
$40 for you, Dumb. And Dieter, here's just $20.
All right.
Just for being you.
Yeah,
just
right.
for being you.
That's
yeah,
right.
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Dieter,
as long as Doozy doesn't get any of that, that's fine with me.
Oh, God.
I'm okay. I like watching other people be happy.
Oh, did he hit you again? Oh, man.
Dumb's hobbling around out here.
I love this.
So Charlie and Anthony get nothing? That's kind of a dick move. Now you're still an ass.
Dumb should give something to Charlie.
No, Charlie didn't bother showing up Friday. We were here working. He's too busy getting stoned in Denver.
Yeah, they can divvy it up.
Give $20 to Anthony.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'll give $20 to Anthony.
Yeah, I'll give $20. Oh, Dumb's going in. Give him $20
to
Anthony.
Give $20 to Anthony.
This is great.
Nice. Thanks, dude.
You're welcome.
Excellent.
Look at that. Look at this.
Nice.
See,
all going around.
Spreading the wealth.
Thank
I like
you.
It. See? This
I mean,
is
Jeffrey, if you wanted to give some to Charlie.
Jeffrey,
no,
Jeffrey could give
$20.
Gave
me a 20.
Snitcher ended up on top.
Doubles up. He's done double his book. Good job, Broke.
Oh, so funny.
Whatever.
Oh Charlie, how...
How was Denver?
Oh, now I...
No, who's got 20?
Now Snitch gave $20 to Charlie. Now
Thank
everyone
you.
Has $20 except
Doozy.
For Doozy.
Rover, awesome. Do you want 10 back just to make it even? And
just so I get something
so
out of
not
it?
Just
you
leaving
better
it
not.
Today.
Just so we all
no.
end
Here,
up...
I got a 10
for
you.
All right.
No!
All right,
don't give him any money.
Oh, all right.
Money.
Yeah, see, we're all spreading the wealth.
Are you kidding?
Dumb's hobbling back in here.
Don't give him the money. Don't. Are you kidding? Stop kissing his ass.
Thank you.
A 5 from me and a 5 from Charlie.
There we go. All right. So now everyone has more money than when they came into work today.
Whatever.
Everyone except for Doozy.
Doozy.
The person who said I shouldn't have accepted that money.
Well, you're still scum. Hmm.
Doozy, do you want to give a...
No, I want to hear about Denver.
Well, we have to do a quick shizzy first, though.
Okay.
We did promise a shizzy. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Hit a shizzy on Rover's Morning Glory.
So, of course, the top story is water levels and the aftermath from Hurricane Harvey. We have several people that have died. Thousands have been displaced in central Texas. And water levels, that's what we're watching. In Houston, they're just in a lot of trouble, and they're just bracing for more and more rain as this storm is just stuck. It's stationary. And they said that the already submerged Houston area early today, that they've had up to 20 inches and even 20 more inches of rain predicted. So it for,
wait,
is...
Wait, wait, wait. I don't understand that. 20 they, inches what?
Up
today?
Up to 20 more inches predicted in the already flooded area. Hmm. And they say it's just
catastrophic.
That's
2 feet of rain.
It's crazy. It really is.
Is this the worst storm they've ever had?
They're saying that this is more rainfall on an area than ever before. Ever. At least in recorded times.
Oh.
So they're dealing with a lot, whether it's the rain, the flooding, people trapped still. They need boats. They just need more boats. So
my mom goes, she sent me a text message. She goes, honey, I heard that they're looking for people with boats down in Texas. You think you could go down there and help?
Your boat?
Yeah. Okay, Mom. Let me get started right now.
There's something called...
I'm going to get that down there. It better be that flooded. I could just cruise down there on the flood.
There's an informal network of Good Samaritans, and they have small watercrafts, and they are called the Cajun Navy. They're heading to Texas to aid rescues. So they were formed about 12 years ago after Hurricane Katrina devastated New Orleans. And they've saved thousands and thousands of lives, and they've gone in and they've rescued people. But this reminds me of, was it Sean Penn? Remember when
he went out to New Orleans and he was trying to save people?
I think Geraldo Rivera kind of gets like that too, where they just show up on boats and they try to help people.
I've never seen anything like this in person, like a huge natural disaster like that. Never seen after a tornado, even earthquakes I've lived through, even big ones. I've seen like a little bit of damage, but I haven't been in the area where something is devastated by that earthquake. I've never seen anything like this.
Wasn't your basement flooded years ago?
Yeah, I wouldn't put that on the same.
But how bad level. Was it? Was it up to your knee?
No.
It was only
ankle?
2 inches so. Yeah, but the whole floor of the basement for 2 inches. And that was bad enough. That was terrible. That sucked. I mean, the amount of work that they had to come in and do to clean that all out, dry that out, redo the walls and the floors. And that was for 2 inches. Imagine if you have 3, 4, 5 feet of water in your place.
They'll be, FEMA has already said, they'll be dealing with this for years. The devastation and all of this for years to come.
For years? Yes. I heard that quote too. I go, really?
Yeah.
What are you going to be doing for years?
All that water.
They say the best thing to do right now is to donate money, according to a Katrina farmer. She's the director of American Red Cross offices, and they're saying that it's going to be an expensive disaster. The Red Cross, Salvation Army, those are just some of the bigger organizations that are trying to help.
All right.
Be very clear that stick with well-known, like the American Red Cross, because there are scam artists out there.
Red.
American Red Cross. There are scammers out there that are going to try to take advantage of this. What else? The president will be in town tomorrow.
I had a question, speaking of charity.
Sure.
I had an idea. We first of all, I want to tell everyone who is a subscriber of RMG Plus that we are completely overhauling the whole system that runs RMG Plus. I don't know when that's going to be done. Probably around the first of the year, I'm guessing. But anyhow, I had an idea, and I don't know if this would work or not, but do you remember I had this idea where people could come in and they could pitch a charity case? So you could have like 3 people come in, and one could be, I lost my home to a fire. One could be, I'm a stripper and I don't make any money. I need boob implants. And the third one could be...
my kid has cancer.
Yeah, whatever. Okay. I mean,
whatever.
It could be a wide range of things.
Yeah.
And my vision was that it wasn't just run-of-the-mill kind of stuff. It wasn't like, oh, hey, my kid has leukemia. Oof. There's a lot of charities and stuff that are involved with that. This would be people that are in need but maybe don't have something. You know, just a little off the beaten path.
Yeah.
And they come in and basically pitch why they should get the money. So let's say we have $5,000 or something. They come in and they pitch why they should get it.
But
so maybe they get $4,000 and everyone else, they split. The other two people get $500 apiece.
Like if somebody had a vasectomy and it just went terribly wrong and their penis were to turn horribly ugly and purple and explode and You could maybe fix that for them if they needed some sort of plastic surgery or something. That's a good story.
Maybe they have complete lack of coordination and they broke their leg just swinging in the thin air. I mean, who knows what the possibility could be?
Sounds plausible, both of
them. So I was thinking about this as we redo RMG Plus. If we had, and it would be completely optional. I don't know if anyone would do it. If we did this segment on the show once a month, you could opt in. So if you're an RMG Plus subscriber, you could opt in to pay $1 more in order, and all that money would go into the charity pot that we do. Some of the stuff could be done on the air. Some of the stuff we could just give out, you know, money here and there.
Yeah, but do you want to be in charge of that? Like, remember the last time?
I wouldn't
time?
Be in charge of that. I'd probably put B2 in charge
no,
of
no,
that.
No, I'm not saying anyone. Like, the last time we tried to do something like this, were accusations. So
yeah, we raised
you vowed to never do that.
$60,000 for our old producer, and then his mom started posting weird stuff on the internet claiming that we tried to rip him off of $500. Okay, I just sent a check for $60,000. You're right. I tried to take $500 myself. Ridiculous. But anyhow.
But, I mean, I would be weary of that. Why not have a client involved and we do it that way so that no one can have false accusations? And it's not asking.
I don't even know what she's talking about. Why would we get a client involved? I mean,
to help.
Like a middleman.
Sure. So you guys don't get accused of anything. You're not in charge. You don't charge people extra money.
But are they going to take a cut then, this client?
Yeah, but people are going to be really mad when they donate this dollar mm-hmm. per month. Mm-hmm. And then we have the three charity people in. And you pick whoever.
Right.
Right. Well, no, then they could just opt out. They don't give the dollar anymore.
But they're going to be like, I cannot believe you gave it to
well,
the stripper.
Well, then don't pay for it.
Leukemia.
Then don't pay for it. Doesn't matter. Opt in. It's optional.
People
that's what
get
I said.
Angry. People yeah. get angry.
Oh, my yeah. God.
I could see where, I see what you're trying to do, but I think we go a client route.
Well. All right, Doogie, I've got to take a break.
Okay, bye.
We'll be right back. Hang on.
Glory.
All right, it's time for more Rover's Morning Glory on Cleveland's Rock Station, 100.7 WMMS.
Jeffrey LaRoque.
Irreconcilable differences.
Master of the English language.
I'm missing something here. What is it one more time?
Irreconcilable differences.
Now back to Rover's Morning Glory.
Pilot X is calling from Houston, Texas. Good morning, Pilot X.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's happening?
Oh, man, you don't even know. It's bad. We're sitting down here. I'm looking out the window. The water's halfway up our driveway pad. Looks like a river outside. Probably about 4 feet deep out in the street. And
is this photo someone just put up on RMG TV? Is this from you?
Yeah, there's his.
This is his? He sent this? All right, so this is your street that we're looking at right now?
I think so. I'm not watching. I'm just in my little study. But, yeah, all of that, it wasn't past the driveway yesterday. In about an hour and a half, it came up that far. And my folks live about 5 miles from us. They got evacuated last night. They were dry, and then suddenly flash flood, so they have over 3.5 feet of water in their house. So they were taken out by boat, but it's bad. I think they evacuated 110,000 people down in Richmond, which is about 20 miles from us by the Brazos River, and that looks like it's going to overflow, and if these levees fail, they're saying it's going to be worse than Katrina.
Now, how is the water on your street, these photos that I'm looking at, is it going up? Is it going down? Is it staying about the same?
You know, we've been Actually, it's interesting that you asked that question. One of my neighbors, a friend of mine, is a construction guy, so we've been shooting it with a laser, with a level. And it went up about 3 inches last night. It's down right now a half an inch from the last measurement last night. But it's raining, and if we keep getting, you know, the back end, these bands of weather coming across, who knows? I'm expecting to take on water late today or this evening, possibly. If we can get through the next, say, 36 hours, then we might be out of it.
What do? You move all the stuff up to the second floor?
We moved all the valuables and paperwork and, you know, all my cachet of money, all the hundreds.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's all upstairs. My guns are upstairs. We're locked and loaded, ready to go. We've got about 3.5 days, 4 days of water, food. So
power? Do you have power?
Right now we do.
Okay.
We're fortunate that we have power. My buddy up on the north side does not. They just lost it. I figure we'll probably lose water or power and water today. It's pretty bad. I don't think people are getting the full scope.
Well, I remember during Hurricane Katrina, we saw that and everyone was like, oh, it's going to be so bad. It's going to be so bad. The hurricane hit and we come into to work the next morning and I'm looking at it. I'm like, it's not that bad. Big deal. Who cares? And then those levees broke and that's when everything went south. But at first it really wasn't that bad. Hurricane Katrina.
And that's the problem that we're looking at right now is if the levees break. But the thing that New Orleans had going for them is, you know, they had a lot of pumps to pump the water out, whereas Houston, we don't have the pumps. So once the storm drains stop putting water out because the rivers get backed up, then it just all goes in the street.
Why don't you get on the autopilot, get on that plane, fly the hell out of there.
Give me some floats. I'm there. But, I've got dibs on the bunks on Rolling Glory 1 if we need to come up and live in your bus for a while.
Yeah, maybe we'll run a rescue operation.
We're
going to team with...
Red Cross.
No, what's his face? The actor, Sean Penn. We're going to team with him.
Okay.
And we're going to take this bus down there. We're going to rescue people in Houston. You know, it'll be a nice low-key operation. No paparazzi, just like Sean Penn is used to his rescue operations. How long till he gets down there?
I bet she's down
there. Or are there not enough?
No, I bet she's down there.
Minorities or some other afflicted group that he's fighting for. Is there not enough of that in Houston?
I think there's plenty, but, you know, since we're Americans, he won't care. Because, you know, he's a winner. He only helps foreigners. I mean, people in Hollywood hate America anyway, so...
Well, Sean did go down during Hurricane Katrina. I did see those photos of him on a boat. He was trying to pluck people from the water. And the cops were like, dude, you're causing more problems than you're... It's like, you know, go home. Leave.
Yeah. Well, give us, you know, the RMG Nation. Just send us some positive thoughts and some prayers. There's a lot of RMG listeners down here, as you're well aware. And right now, it's not good, so... keep us in mind.
Well, good luck. Thank you, Pilot X. I appreciate it.
Yeah, hang in there.
God, what are the chances of these levees breaking? I mean,
I don't know.
This is scary.
I don't know the answer to that. I'm not an engineer. Did you guys get any? No, probably not. I was going to say it was the weather. I mean, Colorado is pretty far north and west of there. But
it was awesome weather. It was so great. Denver was sweet. I got in Thursday night. We really didn't do much. He actually doesn't live in Denver. He lives in Golden, Colorado.
Yeah,
that's close, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. Everything's far
like an
away
hour
there.
Away.
Everything is far away from each other there. And so then Thursday night, we just didn't do much. And we woke up very early Friday morning. We're going to go.
Now, wait a second. When you say Thursday, you didn't do much because, you know.
Sure, you made the flight?
Did you actually make the flight and you got
did
there
you get
and everything?
No, I made the flight. No, we just went and we just drank and smoked some weed at his apartment. And then
Thursday night?
Yeah, Thursday night.
Did you pass out? Like, did it affect you all?
You say that smoking weed gives you anxiety.
I barely hit it, like a tiny little poof.
Did you get that sativa, indica? What'd you get?
He had so much, because he lives there, so he just had a mountain of weed. It's so crazy it's legal. Like, I don't know if anybody has this picture, but I have a picture. It's just guns, knives, weed, and just everything that we...
What could go wrong?
Alcohol.
Right.
And that was like... Guys drinking. I couldn't believe everything we were doing was legal. I mean, it was totally amazing. I love this place. So, he's got all the dabs, the wax, the shatter.
So
many different types of weed.
Do you use a rig? Are you guys rib?
Oh, yeah. He's got a full set of all sorts of different pipes.
Do you like the nail with the torch? You have
No. It was like the real, like, bubble. It was like I don't know what it was. Some wax bubbler or something. There's wax and then there's shatter.
How are you guys heating it up?
Oh, my God.
With a torch? Tom's got an orgasm over there. Yes. Tom, keep it in your pants.
I didn't do the dabs because that's super concentrated.
Oh, my
weed.
God.
I just take,
what a jerk.
I just took a poof on the shake, you know.
Oh, yeah. Bit. Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah.
So that was just, yeah, Thursday we just went out, got a couple beers. And then.
What do you guys think of an idea? I don't know what it was. It was something. Oh, man, I got out of the car the other day, yesterday or the day before, and for some reason, B2 and I were talking about weed. I forget. Anyhow, I said, you know what would be interesting? It just popped into my head. I don't know. Maybe someone's done it before. Maybe they haven't. But what if we played Pop Brownie Roulette, and we all had brownies, but only one of the brownies had pot?
That would be awesome.
And then you eat the pot you eat the brownies. We all eat no one knows what brownie has pot.
Because then you wouldn't know.
And then you don't know. And like, can you feel it? Do you think, is it
That's
you?
Pretty good.
Like,
yeah, is it a placebo effect?
Exactly.
Like Jeffrey, when remember he had non-alcoholic beer?
And he was I'm so drunk.
And he started making out with a guy and pulled his dong out.
Right. Yeah, they were comparing dongs and penises because he thought he was drunk, but he was actually totally
but
sober.
But it was
just doing it because he loves penis. Yeah.
Yeah. So now.
And comparing them and looking at them and touching them and.
No, I don't look at and compare and touch dongs. Anyways, it was Miller's Sharps non-alcoholic beer, not O'Doul's.
The point was, it was non-alcoholic.
Doesn't matter.
Wasted.
Rover said it was O'Doul's. It was Miller's Sharps non-alcoholic
but still,
beer.
Either way, there's no alcohol in it, and you had your dong out. And
I remember having my dong out.
How would we do this, though, if it's illegal?
I don't know.
Yeah, good question.
You do it in Vegas.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah, we can do
rigs.
That on board Rolling Glory One.
No, totally legal in Vegas.
Not with big
no, you don't. There. You don't. If you're not used to eating weed, you don't want to just do it in a place where you're not comfortable like that. Some people, like I was just talking to a guy the other day who ate a brownie, who's not used to it.
Yeah.
He said he and his girlfriend almost called the emergency room because they were freaking out so bad.
Oh,
because
remember that 911 call?
I thought the same thing when I was like, because there's a guy that called in. Oh my God, we're so sick. They're asking about the score of the hockey games and stuff.
He goes, "This can't be right. This can't be right." She's like, "Why? What's the score?" And he's like, 0-0. What's so strange about that? I thought it was gonna be like 125-70. And he's like, "I'm hallucinating. The score is blowing my mind." He goes, "It was 0-0." That guy was.
He was actually a police officer too.
Yeah,
the guy who made that.
Didn't they steal the weed from the evidence locker? Oh, that's great.
Here it is.
Cameron Heights emergency.
Yeah, can you please send rescue? I think I'm having an overdose at his school with my wife.
Okay, you and your wife.
Yes.
Overdose of what?
Marijuana.
Okay.
Can you please send rescue?
I love that person. She actually starts laughing. If you go back, just go back like a. 2 seconds, and after she goes, on what? He goes, marijuana. She actually laughs, kind of like when Mary Elizabeth made her 911 call, Jeffrey's wife.
Cheese.
And she goes, there's some baby food and cheese on my front porch. Can you come dust for fingerprints? The 911 operator laughed, and you hear this operator laugh.
Marijuana.
Okay.
Can you please send rescue? I think we're dying.
Okay, how much did you guys have?
I don't know. We made brownies. And I think we're dead. I really do. Time is going by really, 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 really slow.
Okay, well, I'm on the phone with you, and do you know how much of it you bought and put in the brownies?
Pardon?
How much did you buy?
Just please send rescue.
They're on the way, but I'm trying to figure out how much you bought and put into the brownies, sir.
Probably like a quarter ounce total.
A quarter ounce total into the brownies? Did you guys eat all the brownies?
Yeah, we did. What's the score in the Red Wings game?
What?
What's the score in the Red Wings game?
I've got no clue. I don't watch the Red Wings.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure this isn't some type of, like, hallucination that I'm having.
Oh, why? What's the score say?
3-3.
3-3 That's a normal score. What's this guy talking about?
Can't be right.
This can't be right. It's tied.
By the way, so this guy, his name is Corporal Edward Sanchez, Dearborn, Michigan. This happened way back when, 10 years ago, 2007. Charged? No. No.
He's a cop.
No charge.
But
no.
Also stealing from the evidence.
No.
Locker.
That's okay.
How do you not get charged for that, at least? What, do you just get a slap on the wrist?
They allowed him to resign.
Jeez.
Could you imagine that? If I did something like that, and I go, how about I'll just quit my job instead of you guys charging me? Oh, okay, sure, Rover. That sounds like a deal.
You could make that a side, like, take Rolling Glory 1.
Through Colorado. Allie, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Allie.
Hi, I'm just calling to tell you that my fiance was at my work one day, and she hadn't smoked weed in a while, you know, so she ate an edible cupcake. She literally thought everyone was trying to kill her. She was so paranoid, she couldn't even handle herself.
Now, did she call you up and say, people are trying to kill me?
Yeah. She was like, I need to go, because everybody's out to get me, they're trying to kill me.
See, that's weird. You wouldn't think it would have that kind of an effect on you, but I guess...
Right. Everybody says it's supposed to be, like, calming and stuff, and I mean, I guess it is once you get it in your system and are used to it, but...
Threw me off now, like, when Allie said my fiance, and then she...
It took me a second.
I go,
yeah.
All right. A couple of lesbians here now. You wouldn't hear that years ago.
Yeah.
How long have you been engaged now?
We've been engaged for, like, a month now.
What does your, what do the families think? Are they all right? They cool with it? They happy? They upset? What's the story?
No, they're cool. I mean, my mom was pissed at first, but I mean, she got over it because what's she going to do?
Yeah.
I'm not going to stop loving girls just because she's not happy about it.
So you're only into girls or are you into guys too?
Both.
Did you try?
I'm bi.
Oh, you're bi?
Yeah.
No kidding. So how come you... How come, would you ever marry a guy?
Yeah.
But you just met this girl and you figured, this is the one that I want to marry.
I don't know. This is the first time I've ever felt like this in a relationship with anybody.
Aww. You guys ever scissor?
Oh.
No, we don't ever scissor.
Jeez, Dieter.
That's the one question everybody wants to know.
I mean, I just don't really feel like how it would feel good, though. You know,
Theater just sees it in pornos and he's like,
you just
rub
together, they're having so much joy and ecstasy.
It looks so...
They are faking it though for the porno, though. Theater, you realize that, right?
Don't ruin it for me.
And everyone's been pretty accepting. Now, the only reason I'm asking these questions, it's not, I guess, out of the, you know, it's nothing unusual for a couple of women to get engaged, but they just... You don't hear it every day on the show, you know? I'm sure you're going to be hearing more and more of this 10 years from now. It won't be as uncommon as it is now. That's why I'm just curious about this. And I don't know. I forgot what my last question was. Whatever.
I DJed a same-sex wedding, couple girls, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and I'm so in habit of saying the bride and groom.
What do they call it?
The happy couple. It was what they decided to go with, because I kind of followed their lead because it was my first one, so I wanted to see how they.
You aren't like one of those people that refuses to do a gay wedding and then you get sued or anything like that.
Gay people work and have money too, and I'm happy to take their money. I could care less.
Gay money is just as green as straight money.
Yeah, and I like making the people's days good for them. So that's a great opportunity.
So what did you do? You call them the bride and groom?
I had been doing the whole night happy couple, happy couple, happy couple, and then I think it was either the cake cutting or some moment I said, "All right, give it up for the bride and groom," and I was like, right after I said it, I even was like,
did people laugh or? Did they not even...
She kind of went, she had a tux on, so...
Aww. Oh, so she was the groom.
Yeah, so, I mean, it wasn't, like, totally off, but we had kind of talked about not doing that, and I warned her, I said, it's likely I'm going to slip at some point. I'm telling you right now, and then sure enough, I did. I slipped, and
now,
I...
Now, Allie, when you get married, are you both going to be in wedding dresses, or...
No, she's the dude in the relationship, so she's going to be in a tux.
All right.
And if somebody said the bride and groom to us on accident, it would be literally absolutely hilarious.
All right. Well, Dumb could DJ your wedding, perhaps. Allie, thank you. Be careful if you take these pot brownies, because...
Well, anyhow, hit her.
So you did that.
You be careful.
I know. But would that be a good game?
Yes.
No. We don't know who has the pop brownie?
Yes. Not
the only thing is, Rover, because I took one before, you don't know when it's going to kick in.
Oh,
it won't be immediate.
Well, I'm saying, like 7 o'clock in the morning, you eat the brownie.
Okay.
And then by the end of the show, it's going to kick in.
One time I had one, it didn't kick in for 5 hours or something. I don't know if I didn't do it right.
6 o'clock at the beginning of the show.
Do we take another one after 2 hours if nobody's feeling anything?
Oh, you're going to feel it. Somebody's going to feel it.
Well, you don't know.
They sneak up on you. The last time I took an edible, I have a real high tolerance. Just from other people that I've smoked with, they always say, man, you can smoke a lot of weed.
And I have zero, so I could take a crumb.
Well, that's the thing. I ate one, and I thought I was fine, and then I'm getting on an airplane. Right as I'm going through security, it hits. Like, full-blown, whoosh, like a, just overwhelms me. And what you immediately go into paranoid. Does everybody know I'm high? Oh, my God, they think I'm high. Oh, my God, they think I'm high. That's all you think. Does everybody know I'm high? Do they know I'm high right now? Oh, my God, this person thinks I'm... That's all you think about. So it just overwhelms you. And then you're like, oh, man, I might throw up. And then you're like, well, even if I do throw up, is that going to make me higher? Because it's not like alcohol where you just get puke.
So this doesn't sound fun. Why do people do this, then?
Some people do have fun. Sometimes you can have an awesome, great time.
Yeah, if you take too much, this is what will happen. If you take a little bit, you feel up. You have a nice buzz. You're happy. It's nice.
And that was through security, and they still let you board the plane.
Oh, I kept it cool, but in my mind, I was...
So Nads must have been really out of control.
Yes!
Is that what you're getting
at?
Yes!
This guy's high as F about to puke, and they say, go ahead, board. But Nads, they say, no, you can't board. He had a couple drinks.
Well, he can't use drugs either. How would he even participate in this game?
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. He's very averse to drugs. Charlie...
We gotta really think about that.
No, I say we do it.
What else did you get into? Anything good?
So, yeah. So, the next day, we woke up very early in the morning, like 6:30, because we're going to go out to Rocky Mountain National Park to do some hiking. And the guy there says, all right, we're going to do like a 12-mile hike. And I said,
what?
I can't do
it. 12 miles?
I said, absolutely not.
Is this going to take us like 3 days?
Absolutely not. I could never do a 12-mile hike. He does this stuff all the time, so he's totally used to it. I'm like, my body is not even ready. I don't have the proper footwear. I have New Balances. So, we go to Walmart, and we buy a bunch of camping gear. We got coolers, we got everything, we got sleeping bags, and we drive to Rocky Mountain National Park, and they go, hey, it's actually free National Park Day. Anybody in the country can go to the National Park for free. So the campground was booked up, so I'm like, sweet, good. We don't have to camp. Mm. So we go and get a hotel, and he goes, all right, we go get a hotel, we put all of our stuff in the hotel. He's like, all right, let's go on a quick hike, though. So we start this hike. No joke. I think we started at 1:30. We didn't get back to our hotel room till 11:30 at night.
Oh my God.
We did the 12-mile hike, and he lied to me and kept saying, oh, no, we're doing the short one.
I would have been so pissed.
This is not a lie at all. 8 miles uphill. Eight straight miles uphill on a mountain, on a rocky mountain, and then 4 miles down. And the down's a little easier, but after 8 miles, we got to the summit, I guess I'm going to call it, 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. So, I mean, it's starting to get dark, and I go, well, how are we going to get down? Like, we're at someplace called Sky Pond. It's 30 degrees cooler because we're so high up in the clouds. I'm like, how are we ever going to get down? He goes, oh, no, we have flashlights. And I have to go down the mountain. I have some footage of it.
Let me take a break, though. When we come back, you can play that, and we'll get to our last shizzy of the morning. If you are listening to us on a station that only carries the show until 10 a.m., you can continue listening or watching live at roverradio.com or with the Rover Radio app or Apple TV app. We'll be right back after this. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory. Radio station. 5 show on the radio.
It is intended only for mature audiences.
I'm not talking about content. I mean, these guys actually smell like shit.
There's something weird in the air.
What the hell, guys? I mean, you guys fucking stink.
The shizzy is coming up in a moment. What do you have, Doogie?
I think if your wedding gets stopped not once, but twice, how about three times, you're not able to go through with your wedding?
God may be telling you something.
I'll tell you a story. I'm curious if you would try to get married after the third time it doesn't work. I'll have that for you next.
All right, we'll get to that in just a moment. Charlie, you said you had footage of what now?
Oh, yeah, so I went to Denver, and then we went to Rocky Mountain National Park, and I was tricked into doing a 12-mile hike when I was told it was going to be about 4 miles, I think. Because I flat out refused. When he said 12 miles, he said, you don't know me. I don't do any physical activity. There's no possible way I could walk for 12 miles. There's no
uphill.
Way I could do it uphill.
Like a
There's,
flat path. Yeah,
yeah you just no, walk, I would have trouble walking that far just because, you know, I don't do anything. So he's like, yeah, we'll just do a quick one. And then I kept having a stop. Like, they kept going. I'd have to take a break every 5 minutes and just sit down because my legs were hurting so terribly bad.
Were you bitching the whole way like this mother effer?
Kept it inside because I didn't want to. This is this guy's bachelor party. This is what he wanted to do. So I'm like, I'm not gonna complain whatsoever.
But after
I don't wanna,
the first mile, you're like, what's up?
Well, he wouldn't know until.
No, they kept lying and saying, oh, it's just, it's like another half mile just right up here and we should be at the top. He knew the whole time.
Oh,
and we took
pissed.
Some long path there. That's why it was 8 miles uphill. We did some roundabout way up, and then we went straight
Sounds
down.
Like a fun bachelor party,
yeah.
doesn't
Actually,
it?
Actually, like,
12 miles.
I've always wanted to go to, I've never been to a national park before, so, I mean, it was sweet, other than the fear of mountain lions or bears or
Seriously?
Bobcats or lynxes or foxes or coyotes
oh
or
my.
Wolves or rattlesnakes, all the different animals that you keep
they
hearing.
They could kill you.
You keep hearing stuff in the woods. Especially once it became night. So we got to the top. Then you have to walk down in pitch black with a headlight on. And
like on your strapped to your forehead?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is really happening. And I'm like, I think I'm going to die up here. Like at one point, my legs just were going to give out. The big fear was I was just going to have like noodle legs. And I was going to try to. This is a rocky path. This is not just a dirt path. And I was going to trip. And, you know, on the left side, you have a mountain, all right, that you could fall into.
Yeah.
Okay, that's okay. The right side's 100 feet down into rocks.
Oh, my God.
So I'm just waiting for my foot to just give out and just trip, and then I'm going to die. I mean, I'm forging waterfalls. I'm climbing waterfalls. I have no business out here. But anyways, you have some – it's nothing great. It's just it shows you the path.
Spinning.
So that's like what, you know, that's you keep seeing these really cool things. There's a whole mountain
it's beautiful.
Everything. And I'm not used to seeing anything like this. Yeah, wow. this is off the path a little bit, but that's basically what you're dealing with. See those rocks?
Boulders.
Yeah.
Those are boulders.
Hit your head
yeah, boulders,
on that?
Exactly.
Ankle breakers.
Oh, yeah.
Step on that.
Walking on those?
Oh, yeah. So
up and down and
yeah,
around?
Here's the path for the most part, but this is a better path area where there's not that many rocks.
Beautiful.
But again, it's 12 miles of this. I had 2 liters of water, that was it, and a Clif Bar and a bag of cashews that I just happened to have in my bag. The cashews I just had.
What is the purpose of a hike?
To check out nature. It's actually pretty cool. So then
that's
a,
nice.
This is like Stupid. A lake that you stop at. This is called the Lock. And a chipmunk just walks up and just starts eating these spicy cashews.
Corn nuts right out of your right out of your hand.
Aren't you
Those
afraid?
Are my Sriracha Ranch.
Yeah, you're not
cashews.
Gonna get hantavirus from that or anything.
Look,
no.
He eats it and then how cool is that?
Are there signs that tell you not to do that too?
I don't know. There's nobody around.
Such a liar.
That's a beautiful I mean it's beautiful.
So yeah,
it's quite majestic.
And then, whoever that guy was almost just fell off that cliff.
There's a waterfall I climbed, guys. Wait,
you did not. Did
this guy on the left, he goes to look at Charlie.
Oh, yeah.
And his footing almost slips, and he almost goes over the cliff. Watch
That's
this guy
the bachelor,
on the left.
Yeah.
He's like, where's Charlie at? Whoa!
I mean, and that's, Jeez, oh, that's
right
200
there.
Feet right down. So, yeah, this
hey,
is the waterfall I climbed.
What do you mean you climbed? You went up that?
You have to climb it.
Not.
You have to actually put your hands in the rocks and climb it. And I was
wait
I,
a
this
second.
Is what
like Tom Cruise
wait,
in
wait,
Mission
wait,
Impossible.
Wait, wait.
Keep letting go. I'll show you the path.
You didn't
where we
go
do
up
it.
That path, did you?
No, no. It's
I was
going to
say
around but a bit, and there's like a. It's a little easier. I mean, you're right next to it. You're getting misted. The rocks are wet. Oh yeah, I'm on top of the actual world right here. I couldn't believe I did this.
I would have been so
right
mad.
There. Pause. That's where I climbed. Right to the right. Yeah, right up that. You just climb up that. That's where I actually gave up. I said, I'm not going anymore, guys. You can make it to the top. I'm going to stay here. You come get me. And they said, no, it's just right up top of the waterfall is where we're going. Another lie, because there's another mile past that.
See,
so here, look at this path.
This is where I would have killed people. Like, I wouldn't have. I can't believe you put
you
up with that.
You still didn't say anything at this point.
No, I'm like complaining just because my legs hurt, but it's also the coolest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. So I'm like, it was like the Great Wall. Rover, this was, remember how hard the Great Wall of China was to climb? This is five times this.
Five times harder to do this than the Great Wall?
I could not believe it. I could not believe that I was doing it. I did puss out a bunch, and they just kept... Their lies were meant to make me
motivate you.
Yeah.
I would have murdered somebody halfway through. I mean, this looks like torture. Just pure torture. Bugs,
skip ahead
dirt.
Over to 2:30, and you can see where the end result.
All right, we're almost there.
So
is this it? Oh, it's not it?
Twelve miles later, right?
Oh yeah, I just keep asking, is this it? And this is 7:30 at night, 7:38 maybe. So I'm really hoping it's gonna be over.
It's not winded he is.
Yeah, are you vaping at all during this?
Well, when I would take a break, sure.
Why not?
Everybody else is smoking weed, so.
What, you got a helmet team?
Yeah, this is Sky Pond. It's in a mountain.
And don't forget, when it's over, you gotta go back.
Oh, I know. I'm very aware.
Oh, they gotta chopper you out of that.
I actually thought I would just
life flight them.
Yeah, come
I really
on.
Thought I would just sleep here because I was like, "There's no way I can do this." But I mean, it's cool.
Is this all
right,
GoPro?
So you get to.
Yeah, this is my GoPro. Yeah.
So you get to see you get to see a lake. I mean,
was that really? Okay. And then so here's the sun setting, and we're still at the top. And I go, "How are we gonna get down?"
My God.
And then here's the footage of what it's like to go down.
Charlie, it's black.
It's like Blair Witch Project.
Oh yeah, and here's me. Walking across a log on top of a waterfall in complete
pitch black. Okay. This is awful. What is their trip about this? What? My bachelor party, we were blowing lines and going to strip clubs. Like, what? What is this?
I don't know what this was. It was a hike.
Hiking. Oh, yeah. That's, I don't know. People like this kind of stuff, man.
It was fun. I'm glad I did it. I wish I would have done just a quarter of it. Because now, I mean, now it's the real sad part. It's complete darkness. You just hear these noises in the trees.
Did you cry?
You're waiting for a bear to come out. You're waiting. You keep looking at your map thinking maybe you're off the path. A couple times on the way down, I mean, you just lose the path. And then you're just in the woods. Oh, okay, where do I go? I'm just going to die here. Waiting for a lynx to jump out and slash your throat.
They really have those there?
Yeah, this is a... I mean, when I say park, it's huge. It would take 2 hours to drive through the park. Or something, I think. I mean, it's massive. This is a national park. So, yes, there's lots of different animals in there. And then once we got home, I started reading about all the different people that have died just within the last week of old ladies just falling over these waterfalls and just guys, and they just have to leave them there overnight and hope the bears don't eat them so they can rescue their body the next day.
And you survived this.
I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
So that was Friday.
I know when I did the Great Wall with Charlie.
I applaud you.
Him and I were both like, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was expecting a leisurely sort of walk.
I enjoyed
and then they're like, oh, but it's miles. I go, yeah, but that's, I mean, I can walk for miles.
I can
I'm
walk
thinking
for
on
miles.
A flat,
yeah.
You know, sort of like a sidewalk is what I'm thinking. Like you climb up the 10 feet to get on top of the wall, then you're on top and it's smooth like in a cartoon.
No.
That's not what the Great Wall is like at all.
And going... like that with Rover and you both probably
both bitched. Complaining to each other and not motivating each other because we're just two people that don't want to do it. These three, the other three guys there were like, this is great.
You got this.
Yeah, and they were helping me out, motivating me. Because if I was with Rover, I think we would have done a half a mile and said, yeah, we got it.
Call a helicopter, have them come pick us up. Let's get out of here.
So then that ruined the next day because my legs just didn't work. I couldn't.
Saturday?
Yeah, Saturday we went to this casino area, but I couldn't even walk to the different casinos.
Do you have a wheelchair?
I actually seriously, my left foot hurts so bad right at the top of the ankle. It's all bubbly and swollen.
Blisters?
And my right hip. Yeah, because I didn't have any of the proper footwear. And I was getting hungry up there. I just had those cashews. And that was it, man.
And half of them you gave to a
chipmunk. Yeah, I gave
chipmunk.
To a chipmunk, and he left after I fed him.
Did those guys have food and water?
Yeah, they were a little more prepared, I'd say.
Oh, wow. I would have been mad.
I wasn't mad.
So it's not like you were happy, though, either.
So then that was all Saturday. We just sat at the casino trying to see this fight. We spent the entire day trying to find a place to find the fight to see it, and then we ended up having to watch it on a laptop and a cell phone, somebody periscoping it. So that was...
What's going on with half the people that were trying to watch it? Like, what are the numbers? They're being a little shy as far as the streaming issues?
I heard that, yeah, there's a huge issue that if you just logged in and you're trying to stream it instead of watching it...
People were pissed.
It just wasn't working, because it wouldn't work for us.
Too many people. I think the UFC was somehow streaming it like through the... I don't know what was going on exactly, but I think they were part of the streaming service, and it sounds like it didn't really work.
Same thing happened the last time there was a big fight, that they were inundated and they couldn't get... You would think that they would have time to fix it to where it wouldn't be.
Oh my God,
so
you would think, like, I understand it, why our stuff breaks sometimes, because it's me.
Right.
And, you know, we have a small budget. But when you're talking about the amount of money that these guys are talking, I mean, you just go, here's $30 million, make it work.
Yes.
You know, like someone would be able to get that going, you would think. But
I tried every way I could to pay to watch it. And you also think a casino would have it, right?
There might be something funky with gambling.
They said it would cost $6,000 to play it on one TV. And that was the reason why.
Well, we talked about this on Friday. It's based on the capacity of the place.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's not like if I have a bar and my capacity is 500, I don't just pay the $99.99 that they do
at
home. It's based on the number of people that are the capacity of your place. So it costs, like, for a bar, it costs like $16,000 for it to have the fight. Doogie, are you ready for the shizzy?
You want to do the shizzy, or do you want to do Jeffrey's Skidmark Cinema?
Well, one or the other. Which do you want to do?
It's up to you.
What movie did he go see?
Jeffrey?
It says on your sheet, right there.
It's The Birth of a Dragon.
Birth of a Dragon Breath?
No, Birth
All
of a
right,
Dragon.
Give me the intro to Skidmark Cinema. Apparently, I can tell Doogie doesn't want to do the news.
No, I have it. I can do the news.
Skidmark
I'm ready.
Cinema. And there he
By the way, Flyboy sent me a text message and says, I call BS on a 12-miler. I'm an experienced hiker in upper elevations out west. No way a first-time pussy like him could do 8 miles up, 4 miles down in Colorado.
We calculated it. We went from Bear Lake up across. Instead of going straight to Sky Pond, we went over to Lake Hialeah.
Paul, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
So I've done that trail that Charlie's talking about there. It's called the Glacier Gorge Trail.
Uh-huh.
It's the Bear Lake Trail. It's the Bear Lake Trail.
Bear Lake is part of the Glacier Gorge Trail.
So we did more than that.
Face.
So what is so you're familiar with it. Go on. What do you have for us, Paul?
It's 2.8 miles each way. You go uphill 2.8 miles, you go downhill 2.8
miles. Oh, man, so not 12 miles.
Oh, Charlie.
And I'm chubby.
Dumb, you're showing me loop around the lake, which is totally different, which we did.
0.8 miles is what I'm finding here, even less. Wow.
I will show you the trail map because we counted it, and we did do it, and we didn't do the Glacier Gorge one. We went around Lake Hialeah, or whatever it is, and then so we took the long way up, which was 8 miles.
What did you do, Bear?
Bear Lake up to Sky Pond, and we took the long way. And then we did the short way down, which is exactly 4 miles down.
0.8 both ways, says right
here,
man. That's
Bear Lake loop, dumb. That's just walking around.
Yeah, loop. If you go in a circle, it's that short. That's
walking,
what I'm saying.
That's not up to Sky Pond. That's just a loop around a lake. You're just walking around a lake. Anything else, anybody?
Well, I believe Paul. It's 2.8 miles each way.
Go do it,
Paul,
then.
Thank you for
it,
the heads up.
I'll pay for your ticket to fly out there and do it.
Distance, okay. 8.4 miles.
Which way?
This is the trail, Sky Pond Trail.
Yeah.
That you just told me that you did. 8.4. What did you say it was?
It's 12, because we took the long way up.
That's one way.
Yeah, what about it?
Oh, okay. So maybe it was 16 miles, if anything.
No, you would be dead.
16 miles. You still want to be back.
I did an ultra marathon. all right. What movie did you go see?
Birth of a Dragon.
What is that, Birth of a Dragon?
Well, it stars Billy Magnus.
Phone.
Why
don't you put your phone down?
I'm trying to read. I'm trying to pronounce these Chinese names.
Ahead.
I apologize for that. And Philip Ning. I'm not good with Chinese names, so.
How do you spell it?
Well, Philip, which is, you know, and then the last name is just an N-G. That's N-G? It.
How do you pronounce that?
I have no clue. I try to do
it. Try it. Philip what?
Philip Eng. That's the best way. That's the best way I can do it.
All right.
And basically, it takes place in San Francisco, 5 years prior to before Bruce Lee became famous.
Uh-huh. Is this a Bruce Lee movie?
It centers around Bruce Lee and a guy named Wong Jack Man, who was a kung fu master in China.
Sum Long Dong.
No.
Oh, not him.
But he comes to America because he has this belief that Kung Fu exclusively belongs to China, and he knows that Bruce Lee is teaching it to non-Chinese people, and he has an issue with that. Yeah.
Is Bruce in this? Well,
answer it.
No, I'm saying there's an actor that plays Bruce Lee. It's a story.
Oh, why didn't they get Bruce Lee to do it?
Bruce Lee's dead.
Oh.
It is inspired by the kind of film that Bruce Lee was known to star in.
All right. So it's a biopic. It's a Bruce Lee is this a true story or is this
fiction? It's inspired by an epic fight that took place between Wong Jack Man and Bruce Lee.
Epic.
An epic fight. All right. And so the guy came over and they fought over this kung fu or karate
they
or whatever.
They fought it teaches Bruce Lee a few lessons. That one, that Bruce Lee's style was like, it's at its end, he needed to change it. And he also came to the conclusion, yeah, Kung Fu needs to be shared with the world. He came to that conclusion because he saw what Bruce Lee was trying to do, was trying to bring Kung Fu to the world. And they had a mutual...
Who won the fight, Bruce Lee or the other guy?
I'm not saying who that is.
I have no
plot point.
Interest to see this. Does anybody...
Oh, there was a lot of good, good Kung Fu fighting in this movie.
Any blood?
Huh? Oh, there was a little bit of blood. There was a lot of... A lot of it is all the karate stuff and kung fu and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it was pretty interesting.
Now, do they actually talk, or they do that thing where their mouth moves and then they line it up with
the English? No. They actually talk. Okay. So
a lot of action in this.
It was kind of just a slow start, but then it picks up after they have this epic fight. Then it picks up afterwards.
Oh, it picks up after they have the epic.
Yeah.
It used to be before the fight, the fight.
Well, usually it was a slow build up to the fight.
All right, so on a scale of 1 to 5 skid marks, how many skid marks do you give Birth of a Dragon?
If the beginning had a little more better pacing, if it wasn't so slow in the beginning of the movie, I'd give it a 5, but I gave it 4. It was still compelling. I still found it compelling.
4 skid marks.
I guess Hollywood suffers, they're saying, this weekend. It was the worst box office this whole weekend since 2001, September.
Why is that?
They think that the fight took some of the ratings down, but...
The hurricane?
Yeah, the hurricane.
Yeah, definitely.
The
people going back to school, people are staying home and hanging out.
Hollywood running out of original ideas.
Well,
that could have something to do with it too, Jeffrey. You're right.
Because in one of the trailers I've seen in one of the previous movies I had reviewed, I saw a trailer for the movie Flatliners, the original one starring Kevin Bacon, Kiefer Sutherland, and Julie Roberts, which was made in 1990. Their remake,
really?
Came out.
Oh, yeah.
Remaking everything.
They are.
I can't believe that.
It, the remaking It coming out in a week or two, you know, the clown movie.
I mean, they just
that's gonna be sweet.
They got to come up with new, he's right, new ideas. You're telling me that you're out of ideas. You have to go back and remake Flatliners, of all things? Huh.
I remember when they remade Footloose. It doesn't hold a candle to the original one starring Kevin Bacon.
They say that this movie is really, really scary, the remake It.
I don't think I ever saw the original one.
It
was just on TV this past weekend.
I couldn't even finish it as a child. We'd watch it at sleepover. It was too scary. You'd have to turn it off.
Will you go see the remake as an adult? Like, aren't you afraid?
Well, no.
You'll go?
Yeah. It's a movie.
It looks great.
You know, when I saw the remake of Carrie, where the original Carrie was starring Sissy Spacek, was made in 1976, when I saw the remake, I reviewed that. The interesting thing about the remake was that the effects used in the remake were not available to the film's original filmmakers in the 70s. So that's what made it kind of a little more, and it kind of updated it to today's times.
Okay.
That's using social media.
Carrie, the original, and The Shining, two movies that I never saw. Because I'm so afraid of that kind of stuff. Did you ever see The Shining?
She should wear a
Here's Johnny.
Johnny
T-shirt all the time.
Seriously, are you kidding? You wore that shirt.
Thank you.
Twice, never, 3 times a week.
And she never saw the movie.
No, it was a band shirt.
I don't think she even knew that it was a band. No. I mean, she didn't know what the phrase was.
She didn't
from.
Know who was no. on there.
Was
she thought that was the lead singer on the shirt. It was Jack Nicholson peering through the door.
I don't think I've seen it from start to finish. I've seen parts. Doesn't start really slow. Like I tried to watch it, and I'm like, oh my god.
They go to like this big house or hotel, and then he slowly starts to lose his mind and he goes crazy. It's a fantastic movie.
Like, what causes it?
The hotel's haunted. And or is it that it's just he's crazy and this being in isolation is what's causing him to go nuts? That's kind of the mind F of the movie.
Speaking of Colorado, that hotel, when I lived out in Colorado, that hotel that movie was filmed at is out in Colorado.
Oh,
somewhere.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great to
visit.
Well,
no, it's the one that's inspired, is what I was told, because we were actually going to go to that.
Oh, really?
They said this is
it's
hotel.
Not filmed there.
This is the hotel that Stephen King was at where it inspired him to write the stories, what I was told.
They didn't film it there?
Oh, here we go.
I mean, maybe they didn't. I don't know. I
That's what I was like, well, we definitely have to go to that. And then once he said it was just inspired, I went, oh, I personally don't care at all anymore.
And I believe The Shining was directed by Stanley Kubrick.
You gotta go back and watch all these classics. The Shining, The Exorcist, what else did you say?
Ooh, The Exorcist, Carrie, have you ever seen Carrie? Yeah,
like, you need to know these movies, Rover.
You never saw Carrie, did you?
Is that the pig's blood dropping at the prom?
Yeah,
yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah, I think I've seen that.
I don't think you can put that in with Shining.
No,
no way.
No, hell no.
All right, I've got to take a break.
Any nudity?
No, I didn't see any nudity.
We'll come back. We will wrap everything up. We'll tell you what's coming up on RMG Plus right after this. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory.
Tribes in New York to take on the Yankees. We start your coverage at 6:37 on your FM home for Indians baseball, 100.7 WMMS
radio station.
They raise your self-esteem.
This is terrible.
Do you have a small penis?
You're so stupid.
You bitch!
Screw you, dick.
By destroying each other's. This is Rover's Morning Glory.
All right, we're going to wrap everything up. We'll tell you what's coming up on the Aftermath on RMG Plus in just a moment. I saw that the bodies of all 10 missing sailors from the USS John McCain have been found. And there's a photo that they have of the Malaysian Navy getting one of these bodies. There's a body bag. Getting one of these, pulling it up onto their boat from the ocean, you can see here.
Oh, I saw that, and it instantly, what did it make you think
snitch.
Of? I know, my heart just, I felt bad putting that in our system, because I didn't want Snitz to see that picture.
I'm sure you've seen it.
I know, but still, you just think.
Snitz, does that really drive home? It's one thing, like that other ship that was involved in a crash 5 months ago. Okay, it's a different boat. But this was your son's ship. He was on board this ship. Does that change things? Does that drive it home? I mean, what is it like?
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking back and forth. I said there's a lot more information that he has that's kind of not out there and stuff. But like he knew some of these people and that kind of thing. And the injured ones were in his division. I don't know what that means, actually. But and he was in charge of... accounting for the missing people kind of thing.
Like what do you mean by that?
Well, he's one of the people in charge, like running around, like making
counting
sure.
everyone, making sure yes. that they're all there. Okay.
Yeah, and he knew some of these people and stuff. It's awful. You know.
How well did he know him?
The five injured ones. He visited them in the hospital and everything. He knows. Oh, wow. He knew them very well. He was a floor above them during the accident.
Oh, are you kidding?
No.
That's not...
He was very close.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Right there.
Yeah. Right.
I thought he was on the other end of the ship.
No, he's right there.
No, but I mean, you see that, you go, that is just, it's the luck of the draw, right? That could have been Snitz's kid just sleeping there. Was he sleeping when that happened?
No, he was up.
Oh, it was like 5 o'clock in the morning. He was already up doing
stuff?
Yeah, I
think they're like just getting up and that kind of thing. Yeah, he was telling me there's over 150 sailors who lost all their belongings.
Just went out into the ocean.
Yeah, it's so that's why like in Singapore, if you'll see pictures of them going through clothes and stuff, they've got donated clothes and food and that kind of stuff that they're picking through and getting. getting, you know, more clothes and whatnot.
Donated clothes? The Navy can't provide them with some extra uniforms?
Well,
no, it's regular clothes.
They have regular clothes.
I'm sorry,
too.
Like they're off the ship time. I'm sorry. Yeah. I forget they don't just stay there 24/7.
Yeah, some people live on the ship, but he didn't.
Did he have an apartment?
He has got an apartment, yeah, in Tokyo.
Oh, wow.
That area.
I'm trying to see how many people. Okay, here it is. So there are about 275 people on board that ship. That's it. That's it. 10 of them dead. I mean, I don't want to take those odds with a kid of mine.
No, it sucks. One of the moms, I was reading about like one of the moms of the fallen sailors. She talked her son into the Navy because she thought the Army was too dangerous.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
And now he's gone.
I mean, you must have thought when you see that picture of them hoisting up this body bag. I mean, you must have put yourself in the shoes of those parents who have to, you know, lose their kid. I mean, what would you guys do? I mean, what would you?
Oh, my God.
What would the reaction be? What would you be? I don't know how I would react in a situation like that. Do you put blame on anyone? Do you? I mean, I don't know. What do you think would happen?
I know you go through the stages, you know, of grief, you know, so I'm sure anger is one of them. Blaming, I'm sure, I don't know who I would blame, maybe the Liberian boat or whatever.
That's what would be driving me nuts. Just, I had to have somebody to blame. I got to point the finger at somebody. This is a preventable accident. That's what really would be making me crazy.
Have they come out with anything more on what this was? They lost steering.
I've read, Jeffrey?
I've also read, I think the ship's commanding officer was relieved of duty.
Well, yeah, but why? Was it his fault? Was it the other ship's fault?
There could be a miscommunication between the ships. You know, I mean, as Dumb said, this was a preventable accident.
The commander of the 7th Fleet got relieved.
Yeah, like the admiral or whatever.
He got relieved.
Yeah.
They do that, though, don't they? In the last time, didn't they just remove somebody, too, just as kind of a precaution while
that
they
was,
do the investigation?
Of the actual ship, yes. And in this one, they took the guy off from the whole 7th Fleet.
Yeah, because the 7th Fleet was in the other accident, too, right?
Yes, all four of them, I believe.
Yeah, how do you... I mean, something's going on. Some sort of... look, if it's a mechanical thing, what can you do, I suppose? But
it's somebody falling asleep, not paying attention.
I don't think there's any possibility of that. I don't think.
How
that,
can you say that?
Oh, come on. I mean,
every single person?
This kind of thing?
They said 6 people were supposed to be watching. So if everybody's fooling around, I don't know how it's possible, Rover. I'm just trying to throw it out there.
I guarantee you they weren't asleep. I mean, well, then explain on a ship like this.
2 huge ships coming towards each other, and they T-bone. One T-bones the other one.
Well,
if they did
lose steering on this ship.
Oh, okay. That should come out.
And then it's going to start. Well, it did. They said that they lost steering beforehand. I don't know if they had regained steering or what, but if it starts to drift, I mean, the tanker that hit it, once those things are pointed in a direction, it's going in that direction. If something gets in its way, look out, because it's going to hit it.
Steer from far away.
What?
Rover, you think you can't steer it the whole time? I know it takes a while
a
to move it. There's no steering on it.
No, there's steering, of course. But
when you see you're heading in the perfect angle to hit, don't you start to steer so you miss, or you steer left to miss it?
Not enough time.
Oh,
it does not. What do you think? One of those things turns on a dime?
No, I didn't say that. I'm saying if you're a mile away and you're seeing on your navigation, okay, I'm going to run into this ship. Don't you start to steer it left just a little bit? So
no, because they probably have the right of way.
Oh, don't give me that.
And so they're going. They assume people are going to be out of their way. If someone loses control and drifts into that path, what could they do?
Well, they should have done the battleship, the U.S. battleship. They should have torpedoed it. When they were about to get hit, they should have fired on it. Do they have that authority that if something's about to hit
you're
you?
Fire on the tanker to sink it before it hits you?
Before it kills 10 people.
Uh-huh.
I think subs have torpedoes. I don't know if ships do.
All right, they're cannons, Snitz. You got those old school cannons you load with a cannonball?
No, they have nuclear weapons. Yeah.
Fire it. Fire a mini one.
Mini nuke, okay.
But you can't forget. I mean, this is what it looks like. Strait of Malacca is very highly
congested.
Dense, populated, congested. It was also pitch black at 5 o'clock in the morning.
But they still do have radar.
Yes.
I mean, you still can track, and I'm sure that on board a naval ship, it's extremely sophisticated. And, you know, what Dieter's saying, people aren't paying attention or fell asleep. I don't think that that's really
I don't believe
possible.
That's the case.
You know, but, you know, there's got to be some sort of explanation for a couple of these now. That other one, what the hell happened with that other one? They're still investigating that from 4 or 5 months ago. I don't know what the end result of that one was either, but.
Should Snitz contact the families of the people that had him, you know, pass away? The other soldiers' parents? Well, he's a parent. I mean, they're in the same thing. Just condolences, like, hey.
No.
Okay.
No, because those parents are only going to look at Snitz. They're going to talk to Snitz this early. Maybe if it's like they run into each other at something 10 years from now. But
they're going to be mad at Snitz.
Yeah, they're going to be like, oh, this prick, his son survived? Why didn't my little Timmy right. or whoever, why couldn't he have survived? That's the kind of normal reaction, I think.
Nice gesture. If you hey. You know.
Oh, yeah. How'd you like to get that phone call? Hey,
what?
Anthony Snitzer.
Who's this? Is it a prank phone call?
Is Anthony Snitzer just calling to offer my condolences?
You wouldn't, right, Snitz?
No, hell no.
Okay. Open your freaking ears!
No way.
Would you want other parents, if you didn't know them, to call you?
Not at all.
I don't think so. Mm-mm. I mean, that's a...
I would be left
if you ran into someone at a, you know, if there was some sort of memorial or something and
that's different.
You know, there are other... ship people and family people or whatever, and you say something at
so
that
sorry.
Point.
Oh, condolences and stuff?
Yeah.
No, right. that would that's be appropriate,
normal.
Yeah.
Right. I don't just call people out of the blue and go, hey, my son happens to be, he didn't really know him, but he happens to be on the same ship.
Yeah.
I'm guessing they probably all know each other, you know, not real well, but when you look at this, you don't know how many people are on these things. I mean, an aircraft carrier, I think, has a lot more people, but...
Aircraft carrier is about 6,000 personnel.
On board?
On board.
Damn.
Get the hell out of here.
Dude, you have no idea how big an aircraft carrier is.
Oh, they're huge. I mean,
the longest aircraft carrier, I don't know if it's still in service, was the USS Enterprise.
This is the floating land where the jets land.
Yeah, it's an aircraft carrier, right?
Yeah,
they carry aircraft.
Yeah,
it's that one.
6,000 people?
He's right.
Nailed it.
We're at for Wikipedia, 6,000.
Oh, my God.
Can you believe
crazy.
That?
That's huge.
You have all the people that, you have like the people that.
Well, wait
the
a second.
Officers.
This one says 2,600 for Gerald R. Ford class.
These are the Nimitz class that we were that Jeffrey referenced, 6,000.
What's
Nimitz.
A Nimitz?
The first ship in that class was the USS Nimitz, which is still in service.
Do you know the water displacement by any chance, Jeffrey?
No, I don't know the water displacement.
What's that mean?
Flight deck length?
It's got to be at least about 2,000 feet.
Yeah, real
way
close.
Off.
Oh.
Let's see here. Yeah, I don't even know if they have any of these things. Do they have any of these in service yet? These new ones?
The Joe Ford has just been commissioned. I think it's undergoing the sea trials.
That says 2,600. And the USS Enterprise, you said, had how many? 6,000?
I would say, yeah, all the Nimitz class carriers, I had at least 6,000 in terms of personnel.
Well, it says 5,800 maximum. Yeah, that's insane. 6,000 people on board that thing.
Because an aircraft carrier is like a small city.
Well, what I'm saying is you probably have more on board Snitz's son's
yeah,
ship.
Yeah, it's more intimate.
There's 275 of you.
Yeah.
You're going to know those guys, at least even in passing. Yeah, you know, you see him or whatever, but
yeah, they hang out in port and whatnot.
Right. Think your kid does he party when he
yeah.
when they go into wherever
Tokyo?
Tokyo or
well, he lives in Tokyo, but yeah,
no, Seoul.
Yeah, he goes to the bars and stuff. Yeah.
Does he have his own apartment or does he share with a couple of guys?
No, he has his own.
Must be expensive. Isn't Tokyo one of the most expensive
he's
cities?
An officer, he makes some money.
That's true.
I'm guessing he doesn't have a palace
no,
either.
Probably like
I mean,
a
how
studio.
Much
no,
space
super cool.
do you need? I mean, it's
no, it's a one bedroom.
Is
nice.
It really?
Yeah.
Does he have, like, the sliding doors and takes his shoes off and everything?
He does
like,
take his shoes off.
Does he have a dinner table or you guys sit down when you go to
He
eat?
Does not have a dinner table. It's on the ground.
So he's very traditional Japanese. He's assimilating.
Wearing a kimono and all that.
Yeah. Snitzer told me that he taught himself to speak and read Japanese, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, before he went, yeah.
Now.
That's crazy.
Do you think? What do you think the possibility is he's going to come back with a Japanese wife?
Ooh. He won't. He'll be back in the States in January-ish.
He will?
Yeah, he's going to power school, which is like the next level of his training.
So we're done with the boats and the ships?
No, not yet. It's got pushed back because of this accident, obviously. But yeah, he'll be back in the States.
So for how
think,
long?
You don't think he could have a Japanese wife? He might bring one home with him, Sense.
That'd be cool.
Wait, how long will he be home then studying?
He won't be, well, not home, but states, right. Stateside. I don't know. Year and a half, possibly?
And then he could go where? Back out on the ship?
I don't know. I know he wants to go to MIT to get his graduate degree, so.
God, he's so smart.
Yeah, he is very smart.
Must take after his mom.
Totally. I agree.
I can't. Could you imagine like Snitz in the military? Like his kid must be the opposite of him, you know? Like Snitz, I just can't see, like, you know, giving anyone any sort of orders or anything, you know?
No, my kid is very, very quiet, very meticulous. I don't know.
Does he? So he's quiet. He is a quiet kid, huh? He takes after you in that regard.
What's meticulous? Like, give me an example.
Very organized.
Is yeah, like a little too. ADD kind of?
That'd be OCD, but yeah.
OCD? A little OCD?
Obsessive compulsive disorder.
Got it.
You got some stuff for me.
Are you OCD?
I like things a certain way, yeah, sure. And if things don't go that way, I get a little upset, yeah.
Oh, Snitz is just, if anything is out of the ordinary with Snitz.
Charlie?
Like, you remember we used to do, Snitz used to do all the video at Roverfest, and he would.
Oh, he doesn't like stress.
That was a day that you didn't want to talk to Snitz because he was
turned into a monster. He was screaming and yelling.
Yeah, just on edge. And just like you never hear the guy say, I mean, he's so quiet until something.
So many cuss words.
And nothing even has to go wrong necessarily. It's just like you have to go in and ask a question. What? I'm doing this right now. I don't know.
Sorry, I thought you might be hungry. I brought you some a snack and some water.
He wouldn't leave the tent. Wouldn't he pee in a Gatorade bottle in the corner?
No, I didn't pee the whole time.
So you don't want to leave.
All right, let me.
I have one quick question for Anthony. My dad was in the Navy, and he used to tell me a story, and I wonder if this is Navy lore or if this is a real thing, about a guy who fell off of one deck right onto a flagpole, right up the old you-know-what.
Right up the keister.
Million-in-one shot kind of deal.
Uh-huh.
And I always wondered if this is just some naval lore, like that just makes it from ship to ship to ship, like at the hot dog story at high school to high school to high school. Has your son told this story, Anthony?
I've not heard that story.
Oh, it might be real then.
Can you ask him?
Yeah, what are the odds of that? I mean,
I agree. That's why I never believed it to be a real story. But I don't
really know. No one.
All my younger brother Jason was in the Navy. Like I say, he retired just last year, and I never.
That's weird. My dad said that the guy that fell, his name was Jason. It's weird.
Oh
no, my brother Jason was on his last ship deployment before he retired was on the USS Winston Churchill.
I love a story that Jeffrey just told me. He goes, he was talking about his. He goes, you know, my dad's dad. You would have gotten along with him. He was a big boxing fan, and I go, oh, what was his name? He goes, well, Clifford. Clifford Senior. And I go, oh, okay. I go, I didn't know that your dad was a junior. He goes, he's not. And I go, well, your dad's name is Clifford LaRocque as well. Yeah, but he's Clifford Senior because my brother is also named Clifford. So he's Cliff Junior. And I'm like, your dad was
be the first.
My grandfather and my dad had different middle names.
Oh my God.
So he goes, no, but my grandfather was Clifford H. That's why he's,
so
you
he's,
know.
He's still Clifford Sr. at one point, right?
No, my dad's Clifford Sr. because both my dad and my older brother have the exact same first, middle,
but what about your grandpa's
name?
Your grandpa's name is Clifford Sr.?
No.
No, he was never Sr. because Cliff Jr., or I mean, the other Cliff had a different middle name. So it was Clifford LaRocque, the grandfather, Clifford LaRocque, the father, Clifford LaRocque, the son.
My older brother.
Right.
So you would be known as Clifford LaRocque. My
so
older
that
brother
first
called,
one was just Clifford
don't
LaRocque.
Count that. Yeah, because don't count
and
that.
And the second one was Clifford. Once he was born, they go, we name our son Clifford LaRocque Sr. Right?
That wasn't the case. That wasn't until he wasn't called that until my older brother was born.
What was he called before that?
Clifford Joseph LaRocque.
Not Clifford Jr.?
No.
Well, if you had a family party and somebody goes, "Hey, Cliff," how do they know which one they're talking to?
I think they had ways. We had ways of knowing.
How?
Yeah, how?
It's a secret family method.
Oh.
But wouldn't your grandfather be Clifford Senior?
Of course.
But if he doesn't have the same
different middle name,
no,
middle
they have
name.
Different middle. Like
George
trying,
Bush.
I'm trying to drill through your guys' thick skulls. That my grandfather, and my dad had different middle names.
Yes, you're not a junior.
So Chicken Dad has the same middle name as.
So you can only be a junior if you have the same middle name.
Like George Bush.
Is that how that works? You continue the junior and senior. Or senior, junior, first, second, third, fourth, or whatever.
I mean, I thought it counted. I don't think it's a complete name. Are you sure?
Yeah, positive.
I didn't. Okay. I'm with you, Rover. I didn't know that.
Because the baby that my wife and I lost in 2000 would have been Jeffrey LaRoque Jr. I would have been Jeffrey LaRoque Sr.
And wasn't it the first George Bush president?
H.W.?
Right, that's Herbert Walker, and then George W. Isn't he just Walker?
No, it's George William.
A William?
Yeah.
Okay. Really?
But to tell them apart, when we talk about them, we usually the way we differentiate between George W. and George H. W. is Bush Senior.
What's George W. George W.'s middle name?
I thought it was William.
It's Walker. So.
Oh, my bad.
Okay, so okay. You're wrong.
So it is.
So George H.W., wasn't that Herbert Walker?
Herbert Walker.
So why isn't George W. a junior?
Because you need the full name.
Oh, come on.
I've always heard it was full name.
That's a full name.
Can I just Google it? Does middle name need to be the same for a junior? I don't know how else you
Google. I think they're right. It's got to be the middle name.
Technically, if you want your baby to be a junior, you would need to use the dad's first, middle, and last name. This is according to JustMommies.com.
Based on you, buddy boy.
Using a different middle or last name would no longer be considered a junior. For example, if a grandfather, dad, and son were alive and all shared the exact same name, the grandfather would be senior. And that's where the article cut out.
Okay.
Sorry. I clicked on it and tried to pick it up, but didn't go anywhere.
All right.
So Jeffrey's right.
Yeah, there you go.
Right, first time.
Ever.
Whatever, Dieter.
All right. What do you guys have coming up in the aftermath on RMG Plus?
Is Jeffrey mad about Dumb blowing him off over this weekend? We'll talk about my trip to Denver, and we'll talk about the interview with Anthony Sullivan. All that and more coming up on the aftermath.
All right, if you're not an RMG Plus subscriber, sign up right now at roverradio.com, and you can watch or listen live there at the website or with the Rover Radio app or the Rover Radio Apple TV app. We will be back live tomorrow morning. Have a great day. It's Rover's Morning Glory. Bye.
Bye.
Rover's Morning Glory. Tickets for the Pixies, Danzig, and Roger Waters, plus a whole slate of dumb crap. The Alan Cox Show back live at 3 today on MMS.